Yeah, indeed. And again, we all end up paying for it. And again, it's one thing people who might just have a car they don't really need, but for an awful lot of people, their car is an absolute lifeline. People have to use them every single day for work, and it's a necessity for a lot of people. Mark Godfrey, thank you so much for joining us. Head of Insurance at the RAC Motoring Organisation. Thank you very much to him for speaking to us. Delighted to welcome into the studio now Mr Tommy Boyd.
I think you did a good job there because, yeah, you're right. Cars don't go wrong anywhere near as much as they used to. When was the last time you saw men pushing a car to try and jump start? Do you remember?
Women do it in my street.
Women do it, but you just see less and less of it because the machines are doing better than they used to, and yet your rescue services annual bill for membership just keeps going up and up, doesn't it? It does.
It's just all these extra little costs, isn't it? They come out of the bank account.
It's the little things you don't check. Who checks everything that goes out?
Oh, tell me about it. The other thing is also, I'm probably as bad as everyone else on this, and you get like, whether it's the contents insurance or the car insurance, it comes through and you just say, if you don't do anything, we'll just carry on taking the payments, and you put it on the list.
It's easy.
2 months later, the payments are going out, and then you realise actually you're paying more than you need to. But we're going to be paying more just because of tax. All very unfair. What's on your show? I hope you're going to cheer us up.
Yeah, new conspiracies. We've got four brand new conspiracies, and they're really good ones. And creationism, which I'm coming round to.
Okay,
trying to persuade myself.
Interesting.
Wouldn't it be nicer to go to heaven?
I've always thought heaven for the climate, hell for the society. I think hell will be much more fun.
That's beer mat philosophy, right there.
It works for me. Hey, it's got me through life so far. 49 years. Tommy Boyd, thank you so much. He's going to be here after the 1 o'clock news to keep you company. Don't forget, I'm back on air at 7:30 p.m. tonight. Apologies for that. We'll have Boris Johnson, Emily Thornberry and other politicians to take your questions. You've got to be there to put a question, so do sign up. This is Talk Radio. Have a great afternoon.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Your election station.
The tension, the turnout, the tears.
Join the conversation party.
Talk Radio.
Some things are just better with two. Like the ping pong. The hide and seek. Coming. Ready or not. A phone call.
Hello? Anyone?
And of course, going to the movies. Which is why only comparethemarket.com customers get 2-for-1 cinema tickets with Meerkat Movies. Because movies are better with two.
Qualifying purchase required. Tuesdays or Wednesdays, participating cinemas. Standard tickets only, cheapest ticket free. One membership for 12 months, conditions apply.
When the McCulloch man mows his lawn with his McCulloch lawnmower, he powers through even the toughest grass with one goal in mind. To finish the job before the match starts. And with his McCulloch lawnmower, he's got the power to get the job done. That's why his mates envy his lawn, as well as his team. Get your McCulloch lawnmower and other garden power tools at good DIY stores nationwide or at McCulloch.com. McCulloch, the power to get the job done.
Don't ignore the workplace. It's the law to have a work. Even if you work from home and only employ one person, you'll still need a work. You'll still need to offer a workplace pension. Ah, finally. I got your attention. Don't ignore the workplace pension. It's the law. Get to know your responsibilities with help from the pensions regulator. Visit workplacepensions.gov.uk.
Integrated touchscreen navigation saves you getting lost.
You have reached your destination.
Hands-free keycard saves you fumbling around when your hands are full. Automatic climate control saves you overheating this summer. And now save £750 on the list price on selected Renault Capture stock when you take a test drive plus 20% off accessory packs. Features available on Dynamic Nav, subject to availability. Order and register by 30th of June. Retail customers only. Participating dealers only. T's and C's apply. See renault.co.uk/offers.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Talk Radio.
Let's get the 1 o'clock news now with Victoria Bourne.
Thanks, Tommy. Coming up, Brexit is back on the agenda. One Love Manchester sells out and tennis players slammed for controversial comments.
Talk Radio.
Theresa May is urging people to unite behind her plans to leave the EU after being criticised for not being part of last night's TV debate. She's on the campaign trail in the North East today, saying she's confident the Conservatives can build a stronger, more prosperous Britain. But the Liberal Democrat Brexit spokesperson Nick Clegg says the Tories are going to damage the health service.
The way in which the Conservatives propose to be going about Brexit, taking a very, very hard line position, will actually make it even more difficult for the NHS. It'll cost the NHS around £265 million over the next few years to recruit many of those EU staff who are being made to feel unwelcome right now by Theresa May and her approach to Brexit.
Meanwhile, Jeremy Corbyn is due to deliver a rival version for Brexit in London. And from 7:30 tonight on Talk Radio, you will be able to hear a live debate with the Conservatives' Boris Johnson, Labour's Emily Thornberry, the Lib Dems' Sir Vince Cable, and UKIP's Patrick O'Flynn. Tickets for a benefit concert in aid of the Manchester Arena bombing victims have sold out in less than 20 minutes. Ariana Grande will be supported by acts including Coldplay, Take That, and Justin Bieber at Old Trafford on Sunday. Fans who were at the gig, which was targeted, have been given more time to register for free passes. The USA could be about to join Syria and Nicaragua as the only countries not part of a huge international deal on climate change. Donald Trump is facing pressure not to pull out of the 2015 Paris Agreement. He's set to announce his decision later. Professor of Geosystem Science, Miles Allen, has told Talk Radio it would be a step backwards.
It's misleading to suggest, on the one hand, that the decision to pull out will immediately put the planet into peril. On the other hand, we are going to have to work together on this. And I think what is worrying is it's part of a trend of countries no longer working together so effectively.
A former guard at Auschwitz has died a year since being convicted over the deaths of 170,000 people. 95-year-old Reinhold Hanning told his trial he was truly sorry and ashamed he did nothing to stop the systematic killings. And 18-time Grand Slam tennis winner Martina Navratilova says Margaret Court is a racist and a homophobe, and the Australian Open should rename the arena dedicated to her. It's after Court criticised an airline for backing equal marriage.
Talk Radio National Weather.
Warm, dry and sunny for England and Wales. Cloudy elsewhere with some rain in the northwest. Highs of 26 degrees.
Talk Radio Sports Update.
I'm Tim Humphrey. Bangladesh are getting among the runs in the opening match of the Champions Trophy with England at the Oval. A few moments ago, they were 184 for 2 in the 36th over. England have had an injury scare, though. Bowler Chris Wokes has picked up what's being described as a side strain and walked off after just two overs. There's full commentary over on TalkSport. Manchester City are close to signing Benfica's Brazilian goalkeeper Ederson. The Portuguese club say a deal's been agreed for just under £35 million, but there's no confirmation yet from the Premier League side. A return to Atletico Madrid for Chelsea's Diego Costa won't be happening this summer. He's been linked with a move back to the Spanish club, but the Court of Arbitration for Sport has upheld a transfer ban for Atletico. England's under-20 side now know they'll take on Mexico in their World Cup quarter-final. Their next opponents beat Senegal 1-0 to make it through in South Korea. And Hull goalkeeper Alan McGregor has pulled out of Gordon Strachan's Scotland squad for their World Cup qualifying with England at Hampden next week. Jack Hamilton of Hearts has been called up as a replacement. That's the latest sport, powered by TalkSport.
Talk Radio.
Going for lunch, Claire?
McDonald's? Great Taste of America's back with the Louisiana Stack.
What's that?
Two! Beef burgers!
Uh-huh.
Pepper! Jack cheese! I said pepper! Jack cheese!
Ooh, nice.
And S-P-I-C-Y! Spicy ketchup! Fancy it?
Well, let's go!
Great Tastes of America is back at McDonald's. Go all out for the Louisiana Stack with spicy ketchup. Ends 13th of June. Available from 10:30 a.m. Subject to availability. Participating restaurants only.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Tommy.
Pan de Liga, hola, boo.
The Tommy Boyd Radio Experiment. For those about to talk, we salute you.
Tommy Boyd on Talk Radio.
I stopped believing in God when I was about seven, and it was one of the first big decisions of my life. First big decision of my life, and for most of us, actually, it is up there one of our two or three or four biggest decisions we ever make in our life. Do we believe in God or do we not believe in God? I know there are agnostics, and I find that quite tempting, the idea that you don't know enough to know for sure one way or the other. There's a kind of a modesty there. That's a sort of a Lib Dem position, isn't it? But I stopped believing in God when I was seven. But here's the thing. I am slowly and deliberately, and I'm sure you, gentle listener, if God is not a part of your life, I'm sure you would be interested in finding out how I'm doing it, because I am working my way back. And I'm doing it because I want to. And who wouldn't? Is there a single atheist on planet Earth who wouldn't rather there was a heaven? Because, you know, we're all going to die. Now, people worry about animals going to abattoirs and having a terrible death, but for their largely glorious life, they don't know they've got it coming. We all know that cats are comfortable with their own death. They go off to die, and that's kind of cool, but they don't agonise during their adolescent years about making the most of their lives because they know that they're going to die, which is what we are stuck with as human beings. And having decided that I didn't believe in God when I was seven, I was stuck with that through my adolescent years, and it wasn't much fun. And I used to look at people going to church and listen to people talking about, you know, going to meet their grandparents again and having eternal life in heaven, however they conceived it. And I envied them enormously. And I wanted a bit of that. But you can't decide that you're going to believe in God, or can you? Because I've been working my way back there, and it's a fantastic feeling. I recommend it. When I was 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, I used to have the Bible read to me by school teachers, and I used to think, well, Genesis, I mean, until Harry Potter came along, Genesis was probably the best, you know, piece of fiction of that genre. That was how I saw it then. And you know, and the science in me, the scientific person in me, the journalist facts in me, says it's storybook stuff. But no, another part of me is coming round to it. The head says Darwin. Darwin, Darwin, Darwin. But the heart, doesn't it, says heaven. I mean, that's all you really need to be working towards. The idea that when we pass away, or when granddad passes away, or the budgie passes away, or even worse things happen, that those folk will find peace somewhere else and we'll be able to join them. It's a wonderful idea. It's so fantastic that if you can get your hands on it again, having lost it, I strongly recommend it. Listen, evolution, the idea that it's all an accident, the idea that this gigantic universe that we've got has got one little tiny speck of dust in it that's Earth, as far as we know, about the only place that's able to sustain this life. Does that really butt up against common sense? It doesn't, does it? I've got a fascinating stat here about the beginning of life, because scientists first tried to recreate the conditions wherein they believed that life began on Earth in laboratories in 1953. They got a flask of straightforward seawater, and they got another flask, and they filled it full of a bunch of amino acids. And they collided them pretty crudely in the laboratory because they thought at the time that that was how life on Earth began. Did they get life in their jar? They did not. They did not. And why? Because we now know that in order to create life where there was not life before, listen to this. This is the most brilliant statistic, okay? You need to be heading towards a kind of life which is incredibly simple. And one example of it is something called collagen. Now, I know that distracted me when I read it because I thought about lumpy legs. Is that collagen?
I think it's lips, isn't it?
You put it collagen?
Yeah, I think the pronunciation's different.
But it's not the same thing, is it?
No.
Life did not begin on Earth with collagen.
I hope not.
It's distracting, isn't it? But apparently that was the first form of life on this planet. Now listen to this, okay. This is an author called Bill Bryson, who's written a kind of a definitive book about how the whole planet got going. He says, here's the chances of a 1055 sequence bunch of amino acids getting together, which is what you need to create life. He said, I want you to imagine an enormous one-armed bandit in a Las Vegas casino, and it's 27 yards across. And it needs to be 27 yards across because it's going to have 1,055 different spinning wheels, not just the three or four that you get on a normal one-armed bandit. 1,055 spinning wheels. And on each of those wheels, instead of lemons and cherries, you've got one of the 20 basic amino acids that you need to create life. and then you pull the lever. And what you need to get life, is the 1,055 slots all showing the right amino acids from 20 in order. In order. And he says that the chances of this are basically less than zero. And if you want to work out how long you would have to pull the handle before the symbols came up in the right order, he said, effectively forever. And yet, all the world's scientists and all the world's atheists believe that that is what happened. And it just can't have done. So there's a really good piece of evidence there. If you're strong-arming yourself into trying to believe that there is a God and it happened like in Genesis, and crucially, we don't die, we go up to heaven. Let's leave the hell thing out of it. I don't want to even go there and spoil the whole notion. Then there's this. There's a very famous scientist. I think his name was Jacob Bronowski. Very much a scientist. And he said, the one thing that's stopping me from going wholeheartedly for evolution, the one thing that's stopping me holding on to the idea that there possibly is a God, is this. In Africa, there's a particular type of tree, and it's been around for hundreds of millions of years. There's also a particular type of beetle that's been around for a lot less than that, because plants came before animals, so we're taught. Now, here's the thing about this tree. If you don't prune it, if you don't take off the lower branches of this tree annually, it dies. It kills itself. It consumes itself somehow. This tree has to be pruned. The beetle cannot lay the eggs for its young on the ground because they would be eaten by predators. And the young beetles would be too vulnerable running around as tiny baby beetles. They too would be eaten by predators. So every year, the pregnant beetle climbs up the outside of the tree, goes to one of the lower branches on the tree, and lays her eggs in the lower branches. And then goes back to the point where the branch joins the tree and gnaws a ring around the branch at the point where it joins the tree. This, over a period of time, causes that branch to die and eventually to drop off. But not to drop off until the baby beetles have not only been born, but have grown strong enough to be able to fend for themselves on the ground. I'm sorry, but I know to believe in evolution, you've got to be able to understand how enormous is the passage of time and how powerful the notion of coincidence can be. But like the scientist, I can't get my head around any kind of scientific explanation for that. If that story is true, and I take it as being true because it was an eminent scientist who told us about it, that there has to be something else. But here's the thing, I want there to be something else. Because I want there to be a meaning of life. I want there to be some purpose to what I'm doing. And so do you, don't you, Cornelius? You want to know that you're supposed to be doing something.
Not necessarily. I'm quite content.
You liar!
No, it's just my thoughts on this subject.
Is it a little bit too frightening to want to confront the fact that your existence might be meaningless?
It could well be meaningless. I'm quite happy with that.
Happy with meaninglessness? That's good. Michael, would you like to discover that you are, in fact, or indeed maybe, you believe that you're going up there and you're going to meet all your old folks and friends and family and that dog that sadly passed away when you were four?
There's a few of those. No, I don't think I'm going to, you know, ascend into the pearly gates and meet my old family, but I do want to believe that there is a meaning, there's a point to what I'm doing.
Yes.
Now, whether it's that I give that point to my own life itself and just say, right, I'm going to do this because I want to do this, or there's some ulterior being, power, presence that says, yes, this is what you're meant to do in life.
The meaning of life has been sought by human beings since we became human beings. And actually, I'm not going to put the brakes on this conversation by telling you everything that this author, Bill Bryson, has to say about how unlikely it is that chimpanzees became human beings. Because scientists themselves can't agree on how that actually happened, can't explain why there isn't something that's halfway between a chimpanzee and a human being, or there are a few bones. I mean, the scientists will do anything to get their name on a paper, won't they? And one scientist, paleoarchaeologist to be precise, paleoanthropological archaeologist, found a tooth. And on the basis of that one tooth, right, he was able to create a plaster cast of an entire quasi-human being that was 4 foot high and walked with a stooped gait. On the basis of a tooth! Come on! Go back 1,000 years. I just want to read you. I'm into Chinese poetry at the moment. Wait, it's actually very accessible. This is a very short one. This is by... this was written on the wall of a priest's cell about 1,200 years ago. It's called Realising the Futility of Life. Ever since the time when I was a lusty boy, down till now when I'm ill and old, the things I've cared for have been different at different times. But my being busy, that's never changed. Then, on the shore when I was little, building sandcastles. Now, in the court, covered with tinkling jade. This and that, equally childish. Things that whose substance pass in a moment of time. Then he says this, whilst, so long as the hands are busy, the heart cannot try to understand. Even should one strive to discover the point of life, that very striving will make your errors worse. But I want to. I want to. I want to see if there is a meaning, and I want to see if that meaning is accessible. I had a nice experience once. I had to go around and see my son, who was a student. And I knocked on the student door. It was a big house. There were 5 students in, and my son wasn't in. But instead, another student came to the door, and he didn't know who I was, and this was a Sunday afternoon. And I was very lucky. I was paying attention, so I seized the moment. He opened the door, and there's a man standing there in a shirt. And so I said to him, good afternoon. Have you heard the good news? I Jehovah'd him. I really enjoyed it. And then at the time, being a committed atheist, I wondered about knocking on people's doors and telling them the bad news. But no, I'm working on it. If you have views, by all means, let me know. I just thought I'd let you share the notion that no matter how bleak it looks out there, whether you like it or not, there just might be a God. And that means there might just be a heaven. You're listening to Talk Radio. Coming up, British food. Best in the world.
Election 2017 on Talk Radio.
The manifestos, the mandates, the mother of all radio stations.
I mean, why shouldn't the public know more about what's going on?
Talk Radio.
Are you serious?
Listen. Do you hear that? That's the sound of nothing. Sounds nice, doesn't it? At Ford, we like the sweet sound of nothing, too. That's why we now have 0% APR representative across our Ford car range on 3-year Ford options. Visit your nearest participating Ford dealer today. Ford. Go further.
Retail only. Vehicles to be contracted from April the 1st to June the 30th, 2017 and registered between April the 1st and September the 30th, 2017. Finance subject to status. Guarantees may be required. Free post Ford credit. Exclude selected models. Please contact your Ford dealer for more information.
Let's make more of the garden. Because right now at Wix, there's 3 for 2 across gardens and landscaping, including all decking and wood care. Wix, let's do it right. Exclusions apply.
Hey, I'm Lee Reedy. This song's about Oasis drinks.
I'm selling notes, singing this song. Your liquid loving stops a feeling wrong. I sold my soul to the marketing team. But the money's good and the Oasis drinks are free. Oasis, it's hashtag refreshing stuff. Oasis, buy a bottle cause it's just ain't enough.
Don't ignore the it's the law to have a work. Don't ignore the workplace pension. Get to know your responsibilities with help from the pensions regulator. Visit workplacepensions.gov.uk.
Talk Radio, traffic and travel.
Still slow moving on the southbound side of the M3 through Hampshire. It's following an accident between 4AF Farnborough and 5 for Hook and the A287. Eastbound side of the A14 through Suffolk, a lane block due to a breakdown at junction 55 just south of Ipswich at the Copdock interchange for the A12. And the northbound side of the M57 through Merseyside closed. That's due to a police incident between junction 1 and junction 2 for the A57 at Prescott. That's the latest. I'm Stephen Beach.
Having your cake and eating it. That's like getting the Samsung J5 from Tesco Mobile. 500 megabytes, 5,000 texts and 500 minutes for just £15 a month. Plus, we'll throw in 2,000 extra club card points. That's a tasty £20 off your weekly shop. But hurry, offer ends on the 25th of June. So visit in-store or online today. Smile, you're on Tesco Mobile.
Requires a club card and a 24-month credit agreement at 0% APR representative of Tesco Mobile Limited. Standard UK landlines and mobiles includes EU roaming. Club card rules apply. T's and C's at TescoMobile.com.
Talk Radio. Listen. Phone. Talk.
Talk Radio.
We'll get you talking.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Tommy
Boyd. Tommy Boyd on Talk Radio.
Look, I'm not particularly patriotic, but I do like it when we do well. I don't know why I don't watch the Eurovision Song Contest anymore, because I know where it's going to go. I like it when any of the home sides do quite well in any of the internationals. I like the fact that we make the best music in the world. I like the fact that we've given the world its greatest sport and we've given the world its greatest language. I like those things. The one thing that we really get dissed about time and time again in surveys, particularly in America and in Europe, well, probably everywhere, is our food. And the fact is that British food is the best in the world. Not, and I don't mean just because it's a compendium of all the world's foods. I don't think you can go to Italy and find a curry house. I really don't. I don't think you can go to France and walk and find a Thai restaurant in every high street. In America, you can get anything you want and then won't need to eat for another 2 days. I want to say that British food is the best in the world. Let's take our first call. It's Tim in Liverpool. Tim, what do you want to say about British food?
Well, actually, I was just thinking about that in relation to the creator, God. And I was thinking, do you think Britain's probably got the best food because we're in God's country?
Ah, now you're quoting Jerusalem at us, aren't you?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I didn't go to school, so I don't know where it's from.
Why didn't you go to school?
Apparently, we're in God's country.
Now, why didn't you go to school?
I didn't think I needed to.
Well, it's not a volunteer thing. I mean, it's...
Well, it is, isn't it, really?
No, it isn't.
It's a volunteer thing from the second
your parents thought, could have been prosecuted for not sending you to school, if you're being literal when you say you didn't... I think what you probably mean is you didn't pay attention, or you weren't much good at it.
No, I didn't actually go. My parents were prosecuted.
Are you making stuff up on the hoof here? Or am I giving you your material, or is this a fact?
It's a fact that I never went to school, though. I went to school till the age of... till junior school.
Yes.
And then I left junior school because I just thought, why are they teaching me this rubbish?
Which bit of rubbish in particular?
Well, all of it, really. I found I learned far more. Well, you see, what I used to do, Tommy, and I'll get on to God, the creator, in a minute, but what I used to do was I noticed that every kid that wagged school used to go off to town for some reason. And they all used to get caught. So I made the decision, instead of going into town, I'd go fishing. So I spent my life as a child fishing with a load of old blokes who liked going fishing, and I used to join in with their conversations, which were more mature and adult, around a fishing pole.
Can I recommend a religion for you?
Well, I don't follow religion.
No, but you're a natural-born Catholic, because
you're
functioning at the moment as if I'm your confessor. Are you with me?
Well, no, I was. I was thinking more. I was thinking more along the lines, Tommy, that the nation.
The nation,
because of course we're on the radio, aren't we? We're talking to the whole world in reality,
in perpetuity.
So I wasn't really thinking of you as my confessor. I was thinking more of confessing to the whole world.
What else do you want to confess, my son?
Well, no, I want to talk about the creator, really.
Go on, then.
I think, I was saying this to the chap who answered the phone, the lovely chap who answered the phone. I was saying that I think the problem is that as soon as you say the word God, people automatically assume you're going to start bashing a Bible at them. And nobody likes Bible bashers. But we know that there was a creator.
Because
we know that before the Big Bang,
yeah,
nothing existed. Time didn't even exist.
No, we don't know that. What you just said, we don't know that, Timotheus.
Well, of course... According to science, we do.
And according to some scientists, we do. Now, you really haven't had a good academic upbringing, have you? Some scientists think that there was nothing. There may have been nothing before the Big Bang. Others think that there was something. See? It's
complicated. Well, if there was something, yeah, that means that the so-called creation wasn't actually the creation.
No, that there was something there before. Shall I tell you the most frightening theory about the universe and how it functions, for me?
Well, is it out of the history of nearly everything?
Stephen Hawking, it was, who said that possibly what's happening is the universe is exploding outwards, and then it reaches a point where its own gravity causes it to implode back on itself and go back to what it was at the moment of the Big Bang. Now, the frightening bit about this for us, it is postulated, is that having lived our lives as we are living them at the moment, apparently going forward, in other words, being conceived inside our mother's womb, being born in that fashion, and then put in the earth to decompose, if that's how we go, will happen to us in reverse. We will each live the lives that we're living now in reverse. We will come up out of the ground in the graveyard, if that's how we ended our time, and we will live a kind of a Benjamin Button existence, finishing with us. I don't want to go there, really, about how we will end our lives if that's what happens to us. Bottom line, though, Tim. Join me. Wouldn't it be better if there was a heaven?
Well, of course it would. Wouldn't it be far nicer? But the thing is, Tommy, is that Stephen Hawking has caught himself. I mean, it's all right being the cleverest person in the world, but even the cleverest person in the world can make a bit of an arse of themselves at times. And Stephen Hawking did when he said that the universe naturally happened and it just fell into the shape it did. Because which he's changed his theory now, having realised that he's effectively said that the creation of a jet engine would have naturally occurred without any input from anything else.
All right, Tim, thank you very much indeed for your call. We're talking about food. We're talking about British food, which is the best food in the world. Let's have a quick word with Ryan, who calls from Southampton. We'll start you off very quickly, Ryan, and then we'll pause to drink in today's very latest news and then back with you, sir. So headline your call.
Headline my call? Well, yes. British food is probably symptomatic, obviously, like you say, of all of the, all of the influences that we have and things like that. I think it's pretty, you know, it's sort of really wishy-washiness and how we haven't really got, we've got a roast dinner, that's about it. Maybe a few other things that were bought out of, working class sort of conditions that we consider traditional meals. But, you know, as it comes to like having food, we're just a load of takeaways. We're a load of choice. And that's what you've got sort of in life, haven't you? Just like a complete choice of things. And it's a bit hard to knuckle down onto what you should be centred. As no one really knows what the right food is, do they?
It was a very long headline. You won't work for the tabloids, you know that.
I would never, ever work for the tabloids.
No, well, my arms are tied behind my back on that issue. But I'll tell you what, Ryan, since you mentioned fast food, you're going to come back after the news. I'm going to kebab you, if I can put it like that, because a little bird has told me that you're a Southampton fan. Stay where you are. You're listening to Talk Radio. I thought we were discussing British food in this hour, but the switchboard has taken it in another direction. It's very nearly 1:30. Let's get the very latest news with Victoria Bourne.
Talk Radio.
Theresa May insists she is the right person to get a good deal for Brexit.
I'll stand up for Britain and fight for Britain to guarantee our economic security, to deliver better-paying jobs, a good school place for every child, real technical education and extra funding every year for our schools and a strong NHS.
The Prime Minister's also renewed an attack on the Labour leader, warning he's not capable of negotiating a new deal with the EU. Jeremy Corbyn's campaign will also be focusing on Brexit. He's due to outline how he'll protect the economy, jobs and living standards. The mother of the youngest victim of the Manchester Arena bombing has been taken off life support and told about her death. 8-year-old Safi Russo was one of 22 people killed last week. Meanwhile, all the Ariana Grande fans who were at the concert are being given more time to register for free passes to a special benefit gig on Sunday. Paid for tickets sold out in around 20 minutes this morning. Nigel Farage says it's extremely doubtful he could be a person of interest to the FBI's investigation into Donald Trump and Russia. The former UKIP leader has commented after he was named in reports. He says he has no connections to Moscow. The Foreign Secretary says Britain will continue to put pressure on the US over climate change. Boris Johnson says President Trump will be pressed to cut damaging emissions, even if he decides to pull out of the Paris Agreement. And the man who played Coronation Street landlord, Alec Gilroy, has died after a short illness. Roy Barraclough was 81. The weather, warm, dry and sunny for England and Wales. Cloudy elsewhere with some rain in the northwest. Highs of 26 degrees. There's more in half an hour.
Election Night Live with Julia Hartley Brewer on Talk Radio on June the 8th from 10 p.m.
Join me, Julia Hartley Brewer, for instant results, breaking news and expert analysis as the votes are counted.
The factions, the fury, the fallout.
Order.
Get knockout election coverage that packs a political punch from Talk Radio's Instrument of Power.
The rumours are completely unfounded. There's no cause for alarm.
Election Night Live with Julia Hartley Brewer. Sorry, Julia Hartley Brewer.
Going to the country.
On June the 8th from 10 p.m. on Talk Radio.
The Tommy Boyd Radio Experiment.
Tommy Boyd on Talk Radio.
We're talking about British food and we're celebrating it because there is a lot of...
Yes.
Cornelius, what would be your last meal?
My last meal, I think...
Not death row, I just mean, you know...
A lasagna.
You'd have a lasagna?
Yeah, lasagna, delicious.
Your very last meal?
I love lasagna. It's my absolute favourite.
Is that because it's easy to put in the microwave?
No, you homemade lasagna, definitely.
Really?
With a bit of garlic bread and some coleslaw.
I'm trying to get the conversation round to British food and First of all, people are ringing up talking about God, and then you come on banging on about lasagna.
Lasagna is delicious, and it is the best dish going.
Ooh. Michael, your last meal?
Penang curry. It's a Thai curry. Beautiful.
Has that got cheese in?
No.
Okay.
What curry is a cheese in?
I thought you said paneer.
No, Penang. Okay. Penang.
What would your last meal
fish
be?
And chips!
Fish and chips.
And I'm serious. I would have fish and chips. I would have a nice steaming white cod inside a crispy batter with just a few too many nice fat chips fresh out of the pan.
You can't have too many fat chips.
But the extra chips, you see, go into the crucial appendage to fish and chips, which peas or pickled onions or any of that nonsense, but a chip butty.
Mm.
So I would want two thick slices of white bread. The chips then go in vertically, side by side, like, you know, soldiers. And then brown sauce.
Oh,
has to be brown sauce. Ooh. Again. On it goes, cut in half.
Dramatic.
And you time it, if you can, just as the game is going live. Are you with me?
That's a constant. Like, that's trying to find the meaning of life. That's
just trying to get all that in there together. Ooh, and then that's as good as life gets.
Yeah.
Ryan, I know you phoned because you wanted to go on about God, but what would be your final meal?
My final meal? Cajun or jerk chicken with rice and dumplings.
What's going on here?
Definitely.
Chloe, rescue us. We're celebrating the best of British food and I'm getting nothing...
That is British.
What is?
British, the consequence of all the spices going through the trade islands and Jamaica and everyone making up their food types is definitely a consequence of Britishness. It's not really any good, but it's a consequence.
You're confused, Ryan. You think Southampton's an English club. Chloe.
It's not a God club, it's the Saints.
Chloe, your final meal, what would it be?
Off the top of my head, something like a really good mac and cheese.
Oh, yes.
God, we're going American, Thai, Italian, Indian. Ryan, what were you saying? You're anti-God.
Oh, no, well, I grew up, like you said, like when you got angry, there's no God, or, you know, you think about it and you think, well, there's no real spiritualness to be found in the church and things like that. And as I've got a bit older, I've just sort of come to see what people might have found in it. I do think they've been completely fooled along the way, a lot of them, but I think that some of them get to a point where other people could get to anyway. You know, themselves, if they had a bit of a look, you know?
Yeah, I think you're a wise man, apart from the Southampton FC bit, Ryan. Thank you for your call. You will go to heaven. You will live forever, my son. Freeman Dyson, who is a well-known something or other, said this: the more I examine the universe and study the details of its architecture, the more evidence I find that the universe, in some sense, must have known we were coming. But we're talking about British food here. I want to celebrate. Let's go to Martin, who's calling from Brighton. And hopefully we're moving away from God and towards something godlike, such as British food, Martin.
Yes, hello. How are you, Tommy?
Never been better. Surprisingly well, to be honest. But how are you?
Well, I'm very, very well. I'm very, very well. I'm lucky enough to be a working chef. I'm nearly 40 years old. I've been in the trade since I left school. And I think the thing about Britain is, what you've got to remember is, as a small island, we are surrounded by some of the most rich in seafood seas. We have lobsters, crabs, scallops, langoustines, turbots, Dover soles, lemon soles, sea bass. And on the land, we have some of the best animals walking around. We have the best cows, Hereford cows, for instance, some of the best beef you'll ever eat in your life. We've got great pigs, older traditional breed pigs. We've got the best chickens. Now, what we do with that is up to us. And you're talking about your favourite dinner. I mean, what better can you have than just a lovely steak?
Yes.
Cooked exactly how you like it, with some lovely vegetables and a simple sauce.
Peas.
You can't get any better.
Peas and chips. I'm peas and chips. What I want to know, Martin, is it with crinkle chips? How can people eat crinkle chips? Why did they come up with crinkle chips? When I see a steak and plate of steak and chips and it's crinkle chips, it takes the edge right off it.
Well, let me explain why, and I do know the answer to this as well.
Okay.
Right, basically, I they're not my favourite in the world. Because they're crinkled, when you cook them, you are going to get more of the little crispy edges on the outside because it goes off into a smaller point. So when you're oven cooking
them, No. You see, you're a chef. You're a chef, Martin. And consequently, you think that chips are cooked in a chip fryer. They're not.
With beef.
We bake them in the oven, and they don't have any crinkly bits. They're floppy.
I know.
Yes, mushy.
I completely agree. And if my second choice of dinner would be the same as yours, fish and chips from this country, what better can you have than a nice big thick bit of cod, beef dripping chips, a couple of gherkins, pickled onion, dollop of ketchup. What more can you want?
Man, great call. The last caller was a Southampton fan. I've no idea why I'm being fed information about people's football preferences, but you're kind of the opposite of being a Southampton fan.
Well, I am. I'm a Newcastle fan, believe it or not. Even though I'm from Brighton, don't ask. It's a long story. Brighton went up, Newcastle went up, and yeah, I'll end on this though, because I didn't. And it is a very, very quick religion thing. And I didn't believe in God. And I said to my dad, I don't believe in God. And he came back with a great saying. And he said, well, you better hope he believes in you.
That's nice. Yeah. Good stuff. What a nice man. Martin in Brighton, a chef, recommending steak and making everybody... Can we claim steak and chips, boys, as being an English dish?
I was thinking about this. I don't know if we can.
Where's it from? Is it American?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. I hate steak.
Oh, what? I hate steak.
I hate it.
Get out of the studio.
Boring slab of meat.
Oh my God, Tommy, please.
It's the only dish where you just eat the meat.
The only thing I will say about steak
is chewy as well.
Unless you've bought an 18-pound fillet steak, there will be in your steak one small mouthful of gristle.
You have to decide.
It's nice to chew.
It is nice to chew.
You can sometimes keep that in your mouth for 20 minutes.
No.
No, you can. Flavour lasts. But the point is then, do you swallow? Or do you discreetly in a serviette, a little paper napkin?
Serviette, yeah.
These are the things that are sent to make life the interesting thing that it is. It's not the big issues. It's the microscopic issues that keep us going. So what would you have as a final meal? Give us a call or tweet us. I'm going to get Cornelius just to remind us of the details of that, because he does it well.
Yes, you can call 03...
Listen to this.
You can call 03 0344 499 1000. That's 0344 499 1000. Guess what? It's your standard network rate. You can text talk plus your message to 87222, which will cost you 25 pence plus your standard network rate. Or you can tweet at Talk Radio.
Okay, you made a right pig's ear.
Yeah, it's because you said I'd be good at it.
I'll let you get your own back because Michael's written in his own handwriting. The expert that we're going to be talking to a little bit later on in this hour, and I'm going to get you to see whether you can read that. Try and read that out. Michael, what was that supposed to be, man?
What is that?
What is that?
Even a letter?
The whole thing. Is it illegible?
Well, I can read Spice Queen.
Okay, that's half of it. What's wrong with the first part?
You've mixed up capital and lowercase letters in the middle of words.
Show me that.
I think you're both a couple of nervy boys this afternoon. I don't know why that is. We are discussing British food, whether you like it or not. But if you want to work God or your football team into that, by all means, very happy to talk to you. This is Tommy Boyd in for John Holmes on Talk Radio.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
We are Talk.
Talk Radio. Give it some lip.
My thing? Popping on the Lycra and swallowing the odd insect. I'm into my cycling, you see. We meet every Sunday morning, 7:30 on the dot. We just planned a trip to the Alps, well, the Welsh Alps, so we need a new bike rack. It's got to keep four bikes safe on the roof whilst we plan our Tour de Wales in the car underneath.
Sounds like Ben's thing is a roof-mounted four-bike car carrier rack. Find your thing on eBay, the UK's number one online destination for car parts and accessories. eBay. Find your thing.
Integrated touchscreen navigation saves you getting lost.
You have reached your destination.
Hands-free keycard saves you fumbling around when your hands are full. Automatic climate control saves you overheating this summer. And now save £750 on the list price on selected Renault Captur stock when you take a test drive plus 20% off accessory packs. Features available on Dynamic Nav, subject to availability. Order and register by 30th of June. Retail customers only. Participating dealers only. T's and C's apply. See renault.co.uk/offers.
A tough and overgrown lawn never gets in the way of the McCulloch man when there's a match on. Like a powerful striker with his McCulloch lawnmower. He has the power to get the job done, cutting the lawn down to size well before the pre-match build-up, leaving it looking good enough to host the cup final. Get your McCulloch lawnmower and other garden power tools at good DIY stores nationwide or at McCulloch.com. McCulloch, the power to get the job done. 100%.
Problems south on the M1 at the moment through Derbyshire. Slow following a breakdown between 25 and 24A. Briancliff Way down towards East Midlands Airport turn for the A50. Westbound side of the M4 through Wiltshire Lane closed due to a lorry which has broken down. Recovery work underway between 16 at Swindon West and 17 at Chippenham. And finally, the northbound side of the M6 through the West Midlands, a lane closed due to an accident between 6 at Spaghetti and Junction 7 for the A34 at Great Bar. I'm Stephen Beach.
Gargantuan. Megalithic. Monumental. Big words for a big deal from Tesco Mobile. On SIM only, we're giving you a colossal 6 GB of data for a minuscule £13.50 a month, plus 3,000 minutes and 5,000 texts, down from £18 a month. That's a saving of £54. But hurry, this offer ends on the 25th of June. So visit in-store or online today. Smile, you're on Tesco Mobile.
Savings over 12 months. Standard UK landlines and mobiles includes EU roaming. T's and C's apply. Visit tescomobile.com.
Greetings, Earthlings. We come in peace. We wish to communicate with your leader.
I'm Howard Hughes. Join me this Sunday night from 10 for a trip into the outer limits.
Untwist the lid on Talk Radio's specimen jar of the psychic, the supernatural, and the simply unexplained.
The Unexplained with Howard Hughes. Sunday night from 10, Earth Time, on Talk Radio.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Tommy Boyd.
Tommy Boyd on Talk Radio.
Everywhere you go, it's foreign food. And British food is up there the best in the world. Yeah, even the traffic guy just then managed to slip in spaghetti.
Which is Italian.
Italian. Yeah. British food, the best in the world. Did you know, Cornelius, that the Germans have such reverence for the fishermen's Fisherman's Friend. Mm. It's up there. You know how we kind of revere Toblerone?
Yes.
You know, the Germans just, we have a Fisherman's Friend. They think it's fantastic. In Japan, the land of sushi and tofu and kombu and soy sauce and all of that sort of stuff, do you know what they really go for? Sausage rolls.
Really?
Sausage rolls.
Wow.
It's a delicacy. I claim that as a British food. The Finns, I'm not saying pot noodles are a British food, but they're a bit of a staple, aren't they? If anybody can claim the pot noodle, it's us.
Do you reckon?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know where it's a high delicacy? In Finland.
Really?
It's
a high delicacy.
Yeah. I don't know if they trade it on street corners and stuff like that. A Mercedes pulls up, a rusty one outside, you know, just coming out of the pub, and the window comes down and the guy says, you know, do you want any pot noodles? I don't know. In Bulgaria, they're crazy about quavers, apparently. And the French. Now, for all their posing, you know, for all their posing about food, and they don't half pose about food, don't they? Having said that, I once had a fantastic meal in a French pub, and when I asked what it was, I was told it was chicken's innards, but it was deliciously done. The French, it was bits of the chicken that these days don't even arrive in the carcass if you buy one for a roast
dinner. Yeah, because all the giblets taken off.
Yeah, that's right. No, the French egg and cress is a real treat for them on brown.
Really?
It's not what they do, but you know, the sandwich. We gave the world the sandwich.
Well, it reminds me, I've lined up this clip by Lee Mack, the comedian, about French food and English food. Should we have a quick listen?
Yeah.
Tell you what annoyed me at the moment, the French. Do you remember what they said about our Olympic bid? Do you remember? Oh, you can't have the Olympics in England. Why is that? Because your food's crap. Oh, I don't care what you think about our food. If there's any French people in the audience tonight, laugh all you like about our crappy food. You lot will never have the pleasure of coming home as a 14-year-old boy thinking you're only getting beans on toast and then going, oh, hello, there's little sausages in there.
He's good, that bloke, isn't
Lee
he?
Mack, yeah, excellent.
He's so
comic.
Quick.
Yeah,
he's
really
as good,
good
a one-liner as we've had since A Bloke Before Your Time called Bob Monkhouse. He could do.
Yeah.
He was very, very good at one-liners, Bob. And he used to write his own stuff as well. Does Lee write his own stuff?
Lee Mack, yeah, I'm pretty sure he does, yeah.
Bob used to write some good jokes. What was my favourite Bob joke? He said, when I die, this is my Bob Monkhouse impression, when I die,
of course, yeah,
I hope to die peacefully in my sleep, like my father, not screaming, like his passengers. You don't have to laugh. It's just a very, very good, very good. And the one I liked most of is he said, I forgot to pay my telephone bill, so they cut it off. But when it rains and it's very cold, I can still hear it ringing. They don't have to laugh. It's just a very neat gag.
I don't get that one.
No. It's an amputeeism joke. It's an amputations. People say they can, when it's cold and rains, they can still feel the limb.
Oh,
that's all. That's all. It's a very good joke. I'm trying to shoehorn this topic of British food, and we keep going all over the shop. Let's have a word with an expert, Parveen Ashraf, Spice Queen. Welcome to Talk Radio, Parveen.
Welcome. Well, thank you. And I remember Bob Monkhouse. I remember him.
His cheesy jokes, yeah.
Yeah, well, I disagree. I think British is the best. I'm a British Asian, so of course I like a bit of spice. But look at the cream teas. People love a cream tea, and we invented cream teas.
Good call.
Cream teas are rubbish.
Yeah. I love a cream tea.
They're too dry.
You put on the scone, do you put on the jam first or the clotted cream first?
No.
There's a ritual about it, isn't there, Parveen?
There is a ritual.
These boys, these kids, they're not aware of tradition and the importance of ritual and the importance of respecting our heritage, because cream teas go back, you know, before
the
Lee Mack, don't they? way back.
Lee Mack and before Bob Monkhouse. I live in East Anglia, so we have a Lincolnshire sausage, we have Stilton cheeses, we have the best organic farm foods around here. So I think we've got some. I mean, I love fish and chips and mushy peas. Who doesn't?
Yeah, I don't know anybody who doesn't like fish and chips. I've never met anybody
who didn't like fish and chips.
Who, if in doubt, wouldn't was how about fish and chips? In fact,
with a bit of curry sauce.
Yeah, but there's the hit. Yeah,
I agree with the curry sauce. That's the best bit about.
We've got roast dinners. I live next to probably one of the only British restaurants, and on a Saturday you can't get in because he does British quintessential British cuisine, and his desserts are outstanding.
There are so many dishes that are effectively British dishes, but we don't trumpet them as being British cuisine.
We need to. We need to sort of champion it a bit more.
Get a hock of ham and just bubble it away on the oven for about 3 or 4 hours, and then maybe finish it off in the oven, you know, so that it just sort of firms up and crisps up a little bit. And then just have some beans, its own sauce, some haricot beans, something like that, that kind of, you know, have been taken over by broad bean, baked beans.
Yeah, but the thing is, food is global now. So I remember growing up, I remember my very first Pizza Hut. Oh, what's this? It's pizza. Oh, what's pizza, Mum? Do you remember that series of Wonder Woman? Oh, it's out again now, Bionic Woman. I remember her eating pizza.
Hang on, this is. I don't want to get tweets correcting us on this. Which do you mean, Wonder Woman? I mean,
there was Million Dollar Man,
and there was
the Bionic Woman.
Yes.
I remember in the '70s, these were really hit shows, and they were eating pizza. And here in the UK, we didn't have Pizza Hut then.
No.
Whereas now, pizza's everywhere. My children have tzatziki. They have Greek food. So where is foreign food is coming to our shores? Our food is also going abroad. I was in Dubai. And we had a hotel was doing cream teas in Dubai.
Well, could you get an English cooked breakfast in Dubai?
Yeah.
A full English.
I loved it with crispy fried bread and everything. So, whereas food is global now, that's a thing. You can get anything at any time, anywhere. And
let's just go through an English cooked breakfast with you then, shall we, Parveen? So, what are the obvious ones? 2 rashers of bacon.
Yeah.
A sausage.
Oh, two?
One
two
sausage.
Sausages?
Yeah.
You have to remember, I've watched Four in a Bed far too much for a man of my intellect. So, I'm getting... Now, tomatoes.
Mm. Yeah, I love my grilled tomatoes. Scrambled eggs for me, not fried. Scrambled eggs.
But some people from in the north of the country, they serve tinned tomatoes with an English cooked breakfast.
Yeah, and I'm from the Yorkshire. Tinned tomatoes and salt and pepper. Lovely, lovely.
Too sloppy.
Yeah, you need a bit of slop.
Also, they've got no skins on them, so they kind of look varicose. They threaten you with their look, don't they?
I tell you what we do in the north of England that they don't do in the south, that we serve full-fat milk with our cup of tea.
Now that should come back, shouldn't it? Well, having said that, we're doing food here now. I like it. You're an expert. I'm drinking more and more of this soya milk, which is much better than it used to be. Or is that my imagination?
No, I think because there's a lot of veganery happened. A lot of my clients are vegan.
It's a type of bread, isn't it?
Because of the vegan sort of revolution. Soya is getting better because people are fussier. So soya milk, soya butter, soya cream is getting better.
Where do you stand on the food that does make foreigners wince, such as haggis and black pudding?
Well, the thing is, I'm not a fan of black pudding, but it is part of the British heritage, as is haggis in Scotland. So we've got to keep tradition, even if we don't look. We have sprouts on Christmas, don't we? We have them. Why do we have them? Because it's tradition, and there's something to be said for tradition. So let's keep the happy haggis and keep the black pudding and keep the sprouts.
I've got one last question for you as we take this hour towards the 2 o'clock news, and we're doing 4 brand new, all new conspiracy theories after the news at 2 o'clock. But stay there for a second, Praveen. I'm going to ask the guys first and then you.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
You're shipwrecked on a desert island.
Right.
There's plenty of running spring water, but not a thing to eat. Could you, if your own survival depended on it, and indeed would it allow you to survive, to eat one of your own legs?
Mine are a bit tough. I don't think it'd be nice.
I'm just talking about it as a survival thing here. I can see that Cornelius from the glazed expression on his face.
I don't think so.
He's wondering how he'd do it.
No, I don't think so, because I wouldn't want to, because you wouldn't be able to repair yourself fully, so you kill yourself, basically.
Mm. You got a tourniquet for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you got you're given a set of you happen to be shipwrecked with a full set of anesthetics and a surgeon's kit.
So you packed all this without any food?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. I would have gone for a loaf of bread first, or some tinned beans or something.
You're on a medical conference cruise and the only survivor.
No, I don't want to eat my own leg. It's weird.
Yeah, no, come on.
I think it's.
I have to shave all the hair off.
I think
as
it's
well.
A Stephen.
Oh yeah. Oh.
Don't you think it's a Stephen King? It's a Stephen King, isn't it? You can see it in the makeup. Yeah, yeah. Parveen, then the final question for you on this one. Then, how would you do it? Your own leg.
Oh, I'm such a coward. I would just have the water and go into a nice little corner and just wither away. I wouldn't want to damage myself.
But
my
you've got say you've got a full kitchen with all the spices.
Yeah.
How would you do your leg?
Curried leg. I don't think I'd have the... No, I wouldn't have the nerve. I just wouldn't have the nerve.
You'd eat it blue.
I would
just
wither away.
Yes, what's that French dish where they eat steak raw?
Tartare.
So you'd have Parveen tartare. Well, tartare, Parveen, in every sense.
Tartare, thank you.
Bye now. Very interesting. See, boys, I am lucky enough to have worked in Africa. And one day we went out into the Maasai tribe. And these are spectacular human beings. Mm. They really, really are. They are 6'4" and fit, but in a lean way.
Yeah.
Muscular. Fantastically turned out, considering they live in huts that are made out of cattle dung. Fantastically turned out in robes and with each have a big spear and their hair is yay. And they are really proud, good looking human beings. But this is how they eat. And this is all they eat. They walk around with, round their neck, a small, looks like brass, cup on a kind of a slightly ceremonial chain. A bit almost like a mayoral, thing. And wandering around the village are their cows. Okay. Now, I've seen this with my own eyes. When it's getting towards lunchtime, or indeed they fancy a snack in between meals, all right... They simply go over to one of the wandering cows with their little cup, right? And from the udder of the cow, they take a little milk. Beautiful, fresh, creamy, full-fat, unpasteurised milk. And then they go round to the neck of the cow, which has had inserted in it a crude tap. Yes. And from the tap... which is obviously being put into one of the major arteries of each of these cows, they top up the creamy milk with some ultra-fresh cow's blood. And, hey presto, there's Elevenses.
Strawberry milkshake, basically.
Strawberry milkshake to look at, to taste. I don't know. We're celebrating British food. I think we've established that the English breakfast... the cooked full English breakfast, or if you're listening in Northern Ireland, the Ulster Fry has its own name. It's the same thing, but...
There's more fat in that one, I think.
There's a lot of fat in that one. I believe there is. I believe
and
they're
extra
proud rusher, of that.
An extra... Oh, yeah. Massively, they adore that.
And lard? Where do we stand on lard?
No, it's too...
Chips fried in lard? Beautiful. Come on.
Go on, I'll try them. If you're buying, I'll try them.
I have some important information to deliver to you, dear listener, regarding other broadcasts taking place on Talk Radio. As I'm sure you are acutely aware, this week the Paul Ross Full Set Breakfast is on tour. General election just around the corner. Paul's been going to a different place every day, covering marginal constituencies across the UK. So far they've been to Brighton, Edinburgh, Manchester and Birmingham, and to end the week tomorrow... Paul and the team will be live from the Welsh capital, Cardiff. They'll be joined by candidates and local voices, finding out which way the UK will be voting in that neck of the woods, at any rate, on June the 8th. That's the... Ready, Cornelius?
Mm.
Marginal...
Marginal Mystery Tour.
All this week on the Paul Ross Full Set Breakfast from 6 a.m. on Talk Radio. I thought that was a very good read.
Yeah, I thought you did it really professionally.
I thought
actually.
I read that
at all.
I read that really, really well.
I'm going to tune in now.
So well, I'm going to read it again before the end of this programme, whether you like it or not.
Well, you have no choice. We're talking to Paul Ross later on.
Shh. It's very nearly 2 o'clock. It's Talk Radio.
How are we going to make the whole nation rise, agitate, educate, organise? Join the conversation party.
Well, I can't add anything to that, Colin.
Election 2017 on Talk Radio.
There's a brilliant alternative to owning a car. With more freedom than leasing, it's better by far. Europe Car's new long-term rental deal is the stress-free way to get behind the wheel. Delivery's free, collection is too. There's no lengthy forms or hoops to jump through. You'll get a great mileage allowance and complimentary valets, plus the chance to switch cars every 28 days. Get complete peace of mind for a fixed monthly fee. Add unlimited drivers, that's also free. For the best rental service, may we recommend long-term hire from Europe Car, your flexible four-wheeled friend. Get long-term car hire from as little as £317 a month with a deposit of just £70. Book now at europecar.co.uk/long-term. Terms and conditions apply.
Van Buster now on. The Titan 750-watt, 115mm angle grinder, just £20. When it's gone, it's gone. Excludes VAT at 20%.
Hey Lego Batman, did you know that you can join Sky TV from £22 a month and enjoy big screen drama exclusively on Sky Atlantic?
Go on, I'm listening.
And you'll still get all your Freeview favourites.
Oh, I love it, keep going.
What's more, new and existing Sky TV customers can also add the UK's lowest price fibre for £20 a month for 18 months, including line rental. And the total setup fee is £39.95.
That's a pretty sweet deal.
It is, isn't it? Search Sky Bundles. Sky. Believe in better. Lowest price over 18 months. New 18-month contracts. Sky fiber areas only. 25 gig usage cap. Terms apply.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Talk Radio. For those about to talk, we salute you. Talk Radio.
It's 2 o'clock. Let's get the news now with Victoria Bourne.
Thanks, Tommy. Coming up, parties focus on Brexit. More stars set to perform in Manchester and Farage doubts FBI probe claim.
Talk Radio.
Brexit is taking centre stage in general election campaigning. The Liberal Democrats are warning NHS workers could quit after the UK leaves the EU. Jeremy Corbyn is expected to outline how Labour will protect the economy, jobs and living standards, while the Prime Minister insists the Conservatives are the only party who will strike a good deal.
We've got people in Europe who are talking about punishing the UK. And I think if we went down that route, then that would lead to a bad deal for us. And on the other hand, you've got people here in the UK and other political parties who seem willing to sign up to a deal, whatever the price of that deal. And I think they would end up with the worst possible deal at the highest price.
Talk Radio and The Sun have joined forces for a live debate, which you'll be able to hear at 7:30 tonight. Julia will be grilling the Conservatives' Boris Johnson, Labour's Emily Thornberry, the Liberal Democrats' Sir Vince Cable and UKIP's Patrick O'Flynn, all in front of a live studio audience. The mother of the youngest victim of the Manchester bombing has been told about her daughter's death. Now she's off life support. 8-year-old Safi Russo was one of 22 people who died last week. Meanwhile, tickets for a benefits show to help grieving relatives have sold out in minutes. Some fans who were at last week's Ariana Grande show believe Sunday is too soon, but Melvin Benn, who's one of the organisers, disagrees.
Life has to go on, and you know, we're very keen to demonstrate that life will go on, and the reality is we are planning a safe concert and we're going to absolutely deliver a safe concert. So security is at the top of everybody's list.
Little Mix and Robbie Williams are the latest acts to be added to the lineup. Nigel Farage has dubbed reports he's a person of interest in the FBI's investigation into links between Donald Trump's election campaign and Russia as fake news. The former UKIP leader insists he has no connections to Moscow. A woman's been arrested by a police war crimes team on suspicion of torture. The 51-year-old is being questioned in connection with atrocities during the Liberian Civil War. And tributes are being paid to Coronation Street star Roy Barraclough, who's died at the age of 81. Comedian Matt Lucas has described him as a brilliant actor.
Talk Radio National Weather.
Warm, dry and sunny for England and Wales. Cloudy elsewhere with some rain in the northwest. Highs of 26 degrees.
Talk Radio Sports Update.
I'm Tim Humphrey. Bangladesh are approaching the end of their innings in the opening game of the Champions Trophy against England at the Oval. A few minutes ago, they were 277 for 5 in the 47th of their 50 overs. Tamin Iqbal hit 128. There's full commentary over on Talk Sport. Luke Wright has stepped down as captain of Sussex with immediate effect after just a year in the role. The 32-year-old admits he'd lost some of his enjoyment for the game since taking over. Manchester United have reportedly turned down a £60 million bid from Real Madrid for goalkeeper David De Gea. The Spain international was within minutes of joining Real in August 2015, but the deadline day deal collapsed. He signed a new contract at Old Trafford. Atletico Madrid's transfer ban has been upheld by the Court of Arbitration for Sport. They're being punished for breaching FIFA rules over the signing of minors and are unable to bring in new players until January of next year. England and Wales are tied in 13th place in the latest FIFA World Rankings. Gareth Southgate's side have moved up one spot to pull level with their rivals. Northern Ireland are down two places to 28th, Scotland down two at 61st. That's your latest sport, powered by TalkSport.
Talk Radio.
Across the UK, online and on DAB. The Tommy Boyd Radio Experiment. For those about to talk, we salute you.
Tommy Boyd on Talk Radio.
Welcome to the all-new Conspiracy Hour on Talk Radio. Four new conspiracies, big ones, and I'm here to tell you that I actually definitely believe the biggest of them, which is the first one I'm going to unveil right now. It was inspired by my son, who is a historian and a huge football fan. And he said something almost in passing to me not long ago. And I just stood there in the kitchen thinking about it. And I called him back and he's explained a little bit more. And Jack has got a serious point. So we did some research. And the more research we did into it, the more crystal clear it is that. And here we go. I'll tell you in a second. Cornelius, do you like football?
Yeah.
Who's your team?
Charlton Athletic.
Charlton Athletic.
Yes.
Good for you, boy. Down there.
Thanks.
Valley still?
Yeah, the Valley.
The Valley?
Yeah. Yeah, it's brilliant there.
Beautiful. Do you remember the old Valley with the 70
no,
mile high
I've seen
terrace?
Lots of pictures and some amazing pictures.
I went there once. You had to climb it just so that you'd climbed it.
Yeah.
And when you got to the top, like you could, the pitch was like a little toy pitch, a Sabutio pitch, you know. Brilliant. Michael, same question. Football?
Manchester United.
Man United, of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
We had Roy Keane and Dennis Irwin. Couldn't argue with that.
There's something else that's particularly attractive to the Irish about Manchester United, but I don't know what it is.
Well, we've had a lot. It is the definition with the players. George Best.
True, true.
And there's another gentleman whose name escapes me, but Mr. Don, who was captain in the 70s of an FA Cup winning side as well. So
yes.
there's a history.
Aren't we glad we've got football, those of us who love football? What would we do without football?
Yeah.
Aren't we happy that the game was luckily sort of invented when it was, sometime about 100 and something years ago, almost by accident or as a result of, you know, people's love of sport and things like that? Aren't we lucky that that... Except it didn't happen like that.
Oh?
No. This is the conspiracy theory number one in the all-new conspiracy. The year is 1863. What's going on in the world in 1863? I'll tell you, nothing but upheaval and revolution and rebellion and unrest and civil war. And the British government are scared, quite rightly, because not that long ago, the whole of Europe was torn up by what was called the Spring Riots.
Yeah.
Over 50 countries experienced rebellion, revolution, uprisings. The end results of it were, in some countries, they were absolutely huge. In France, of course, they executed the entire aristocracy and did away with the monarchy. In other countries, they managed to do away with slavery and serfdom. There were all sorts of refreshing changes brought, democratizing so many states around the world. Just a few years before 1863, when something happened that gave us football. Didn't happen in this country. People tried. There were riots. There were uprisings. There were rebellions. Let me see if I can find a few of them. Well, there were six. There were six big rebellions in the period from the French Revolution up to 1863. The first one was the Bristol Bridge Riot of 30th of September. I just want you to remember that date, September. 1793, 11 protesters were massacred by the army as they demonstrated for more freedoms. Then on the 16th of August 1819, 70,000 protesters gathered outside Manchester to demand an end to famine and calling for greater democracy. And 15 of the protesters were killed by the army. Then there were the Swing Riots of 1830, which started on August the 23rd. A series of widespread riots of working men and women against the landowners. And then on the 23rd of September, 1838, the Chartist organisation, whose pledge was to win power for the working class, they held their first huge meeting in Lancashire. And a year later, on the 3rd of November, the Chartists finally came to blows with the establishment in Newport, and on this occasion the army massacred over 20 rioters. And then the most recent one, before you get to 1863, on August the 13th, 1842, four men were shot and killed by the army during disturbances which were called the Preston Strikes. Those were the only, but there were six of them, major risings against the establishment in England in the period when the rest of Europe, the rest of the world, was doing it for real. What's the thing that stands out for you about the dates?
They're all in the year? They're all in the autumn.
They're all in the autumn. They're all in a six-week window. They all happened between the end of August and the beginning of November, all of them. How can that be? Is that just a coincidence? You've got to remember that the ruling classes are looking at every single which way they can hold on to power. And they've noticed something, just what you noticed. You can't not notice it, can you?
Mm.
Why?
What's your theory?
It's very simple. Up until 1863, there were only two mass organised sports in England. Cricket, which was hugely popular, played on every village green. People used to go in their 20s and 30,000s to watch ordinary matches at Lord's, even though there was no public transport. They loved it.
Mm.
And they could bet on it, and that was even better for the unwashed. And the other sport was horse racing. We only had the flat then, and the flat ends when? When does the flat season end?
September, isn't it?
September. And when does the cricket season end?
Around the same amount of time.
And when did all these riots take place?
Starting in September.
Well, some of them were in August. Half of them were in August.
End of August.
Mm.
When it's all beginning to wind
up. Two of the August ones were mid-August.
Yeah. You're struggling, aren't you? Staring you in the face during a six-week window when the unwashed are losing their opiate. I mean, Marx said that religion is the opiate of the people. Well, by this time, people are stopping believing in God. They're believing in their sport. They want to go horse racing. They want their cricket. And they, come August, it's disappearing fast. And all they've got to look forward to is a cold winter and hard days in the factory. So they get restive.
Mm.
All right. And the establishment are worried because the army is being run down. The British army during this period was being run by a man who can best be described, no offence, as a moron. His name was Prince George. He was the second Duke of Cambridge, KG, KT, KP, GCB. I could go on, really. I could go on. And he was rubbish. He refused to modernise the army. Our army, our navy ruled the waves, but our British army was falling into disrepair. And the establishment realised that they were going to need something better than the army to keep the masses down. So, in the years immediately after 1863, when football was, in inverted commas, invented, all of a sudden, from nowhere, tennis, 1865, codified by Major Thomas Jem of the Birmingham Rifles, although it was a different major, Walter Wingfield, from the Sandhurst and Dragoon Guards, who was awarded the Royal Order for services to the royal family for inventing tennis for the masses. Golf. Golf had been played in Scotland for hundreds of years, but nowhere else until, in 1865, the first golf course was built. Who by and where? By the army, on army land in Wimbledon. Winter horse racing. When did that start? 1865. National Hunt Racing, which had only previously been a summer sport, was taken over by a new committee, the National Hunt Committee, and they began the switch of the sport to autumn and winter in 1865. Boxing came along a couple of years later. Very close, though. 1867. Who codified that? A chap who was the first lieutenant commander of the Dumfriesshire Rifles, John Douglas. Now, who did all these people work for? They worked for the War Office. We didn't have a Secretary of State for Defence then. Didn't we have a Defence Department? We had the War Office. And all this is going off. By the way, the American Civil War is happening at this time. Probably the biggest uprising the world has ever known against, you know, what was perceived as a tyrannical ruler. tyrannical ruler. So the British establishment are scared. They need to get the public playing, watching and gambling on sport so that they don't decide to riot every August, September. How did football come about? Anybody know how football came about? No?
Weren't they playing rugby and someone put the ball on the floor?
No, it was the other way around.
You're talking of Wingfield Digby there, and that's a complete myth. What's the joke? In 18-something or other, Wingfield Digby picked the ball up and became the first Englishman to run with the football, and indeed the last. Let me get back on the track. Football. What happened was this. There were a bunch of clubs in London that played something similar to football. You could pick it up, you could kick it, you could kick your opponents, you could punch them. It needed to be codified. So somebody called 12 football stroke rugby clubs together in a pub and got them to agree to form the Football Association to settle a set of rules and to get the sport out there to the masses. Who called the meeting? This is what's fantastic. It was the War Office. The War Office called the meeting in a pub. But not just any old pub. The pub is called, and it's still standing, the Freemasons Arms. And the reason it was called the Freemasons Arms was because it was the favoured watering hole of Freemasonry, the other arm of the establishment. So the War Office, and we don't know who the man is, he signed his name, and I've seen the name written down on the log. He signed himself Mr. Warne, W-A-R-N-E, of the War Office. Nothing else is known about him. But he brought them together and said, boys, gentlemen, what we need is more muddy, bloody sports for the masses to play. Otherwise, they're going to be cutting off the royal family's heads before we know it. So get out there and do it. The War Office ran the game for the first 20 years. The first ever international, right, was England versus Scotland. Four of the Scottish team were War Office employees. Two of the English team were War Office employees. By this time, they changed their name from the War Office and they started calling themselves the Civil Service FC. OK, it's still the War Office. They're calling themselves the Civil Service FC. And their job was to get the game out there, to give distractions to the proletariat so that they wouldn't rise up and guillotine the royal family. And they didn't just stop within our borders. The War Office sent the sport out to the rest of the world. If you go to Real Madrid, you will see up in the boardroom that the Civil Service FC are honorary life members of Real Madrid in the part they played in bringing football to Spain and in particular Madrid. And if you know anything about Spanish politics, you'll know that Madrid and Real Madrid are the establishment team there. Mm-hmm. And in 2013... to celebrate all this, the Civil Service FC were invited by the current and future monarch to play the first ever football match at Buckingham Palace in honour of the part that they played in creating the world's number one sport and indeed allowing the current and future monarchs to keep their heads. That's pretty good, isn't that? Eh?
It sounds pretty solid.
It's pretty solid, isn't it?
And it almost makes you forget that it is a load of crap.
You're listening to Talk Radio. It's the new Conspiracy Hour. I'm Tommy Boyd, in for John Holmes.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
All the latest election news as soon as it breaks on the station that's going to the country.
The British Open Democratic Process.
Talk Radio.
My thing, my abs. They're big on Instagram. Well, they were until I dropped a dumbbell on my phone. Anyway, I need a replacement. 12 megapixel camera for maximum muscle definition. But my budget is lower than my body fat ratio. So, you know what? It's got to be refurb.
Russell's thing. It's clearly a refurbished smartphone from eBay. That's as good as new with 12-month seller warranty. Buy refurbished tech on eBay and save up to 50% versus new. eBay. Find your thing.
I'm there as she's rushed down the corridor of A&E. Her bloodied hands are hanging limp from the side of the hospital bed. She desperately needs a transfusion. She keeps asking for her fiancé. We turn the corner. And I'm here, finally, in the snack aisle. I pick up a selection of crisps before realising that I forgot the potatoes. Back to the fruit and veg aisle it is, then. As a blood donor, you can save someone's life while going about yours. Register at blood.co.uk.
So you're kicking around the idea of getting rid of your greys with Just for Men, but all your intel comes from your lovely lady who goes to that dreaded place, the salon.
Then there's the foil and the sitting, the hot dryer, more rinsing, more sitting, more rinsing, more sitting, more rinsing.
Mate, that's not for you. That's for the ladies. That's why Just for Men is made for men. Getting rid of your grey takes about 5 minutes. Yeah, it's that easy. Now you're not only back to your natural hair colour, you're back at the pub, where you belong. Just for Men. Find it in the men's aisle.
Talk Radio, traffic and travel.
In Suffolk, the A14 westbound is partially blocked due to an obstruction on the road at junction 55 for the A12 for Cop Dock interchange. There is heavy traffic around there. Park Gate in Hampshire, the A27 in both directions. That's slow around the Southampton Road for the Segonsworth roundabout. Station Road is closed. There is a diversion in place there. And in North Shields, Tyne and Wear, heavy traffic on the A19 southbound at the Silverlink roundabout. There are roadworks on that stretch. I'm Paul Jenkins.
At QuickFit, it's our mission to keep you safe and get you back on the road. That's why this spring we're offering epic deals on our premium tyres. Drop into one of our centres this month and get a massive 25% off all Pirelli tyres. QuickFit, it's all about the service. At participating centres only, offer excludes online, check in store for details.
Talk Radio. Intelligent, organic entertainment.
Talk Radio.
We'll get you talking.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Tommy Boyd. Tommy Boyd on Talk Radio.
I am Tommy Boyd. John Holmes will be back with you on Monday between now and 3 o'clock. It's the all-new Conspiracy Hour. And I've just been laying bare what I consider to be a genuine, huge and fascinating conspiracy, which is that the world's number one sport, football, was specifically devised by the British War Office in order to keep the establishment in power. And I stand by what I said. There are four conspiracies, new conspiracies of that calibre that we have for you in this hour. This would be a great podcast, but it could be five because CJ's on the line from the Manchester area in Greater Manchester. And CJ, I understand you have your own conspiracy
theory. Absolutely, sir. Also, forgive the background noise. There's a bloke who's trimming the lawn and it's quite irritating. But yes, I think your conspiracies are actually a red herring.
Go on.
Because you are distracting us from the fact that you are, in fact, a member of the Illuminati.
Yeah, OK, go on then. I'll give you another 30 seconds.
All right. So Tommy Boyd, yes? Tommy Boyd has 10 characters in your name. 10 is an even number. And what else is an even number? That's right, 8.
8, yeah.
Episode 8 of the next Star Wars will be another episode of Star Wars. Yes, that's right. Star Wars Episode 7, The Force Awakens. So, 7, yes, is the next iPhone that will be released.
Listen, this guy who's cutting his lawn, is it electric or petrol?
Yes, absolutely. And humans have 2 eyes, and 2 is also an even number.
You haven't got wet hands by any chance.
Oh, a little bit.
Go and say hello to him, will you? Thanks, CJ, very much indeed for your call. Not. Let's have a look. Okay, conspiracy theory number 2, boys. You did very well hanging on through that one because it was complex, it was richly researched, and I think definitive. But this one's a lot more fun. It's not completely new in as much as I did put it to the chairperson of the Star Trek Appreciation Society some years ago, and he ran scared. This one is a beauty. Okay. I was in a pub once. And there was a packet of Marlboro on the table. And this guy said, you do know that Marlboro cigarettes have got a coded message about the Ku Klux Klan on them, don't you? And I said, no. And he showed me that if you turn the packet round and then turn it round that way and turn it round that way, you get 3 Ks. It's a pub trick.
I've seen the same thing, though, with the American dollar.
So go on.
Yeah, basically, if you fold it over a certain way, it'll eventually come up to an I or some sort of a thing. Which is supposed to be Illuminati or Freemasons or whatever one it is.
Well, this piece of information about the Marlboro packet went in one ear and out the other. Mm. But I was on my way home and there was Star Trek on that night. Does any of you guys ever seen any kind of Star Trek?
No, not at all.
Good. But you know what it is, don't you?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
You hate it, don't you?
Yeah,
it's just rubbish.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, listen to this then, you'll love it. Right, so I'm going home and I'm thinking KKK. Oh, and Star Trek's on tonight. Well, it's got a K in it. And then I thought, who are the characters in Star Trek? Oh, it's Captain Kirk. Oh, he's got 2 Ks.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, there's Mr. Spock. Blimey. There's a disproportionate preponderance of K's in there. So I started doing a little bit of research. And I found out that the first ever captain of the USS Enterprise was a Captain April, but they wrote that character out of it. And in fact, the Ku Klux Klan Act outlawing the KKK was passed in April 1871. That's not a very persuasive piece of information.
Tenuous.
But here's the next bit. The second Enterprise captain was a man called Chris Pike.
Yeah.
Captain Chris Pike. Well, the fact is that the person who basically invented the Ku Klux Klan and is widely regarded as being the main founder and the father figure of the KKK is none other than Confederate General and Scottish Freemason Albert Pike. I'm sorry, that's quite strong. That is quite strong. Scottish Freemasonry, which was huge in the southern states and big with the Confederates during the American Civil War. But they got rid of Pike. They didn't like him. They got in William Shatner and they gave him a name which was absolutely nothing at all whatsoever, surely, to do with the KKK and Scottish Freemasonry. They called him Captain...
Kirk.
Kirk. How many K's in that?
Two.
And what is a Kirk? It's a Scottish church.
Is it?
Yes, a Kirk. A Kirk.
Yeah, I know.
Spelt K-I-R-K. I get that one's tenuous. Not as good as the Pike one, but it's up there. Who wrote...
Is that it? Is that the end?
No.
Okay, good.
Why? Because they're not enough.
Because so far, we're at Star Trek was a front for the Scottish KKK.
And there's a lot of K's involved.
Yeah. Okay, but
that's where we're at so far.
Who wrote Star Trek? A man called Gene Roddenberry.
Oh,
was his profession at the time that he wrote it?
Pastor?
No, sorry, Bob. He was a police officer in the LAPD. And guess which organisation ran rife through the LAPD during the 60s when Gene Roddenberry was an officer?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, the KKK. Fact. Nobody would pick up his idea for a cowboy show set in space. Nobody would. He touted it to all the studios. They all went, no, not interested in that. Eventually, one studio said, there might be something in this. We'll put it to our investors. He said, what do you do? They said, we only do one show. It's called I Love Lucy. We are Desilu Productions. Desilu Productions got the green light for Star Trek from the investors in I Love Lucy and Desilu. They liked it. They wanted to make a few slight changes. They did. Who were the investors in I Love Lucy? Philip Morris Cigarettes. Philip Morris Cigarettes' main brand is...
Marlboro.
Hello. How about that? How about that?
I mean...
How about that? And there are lots and lots of little things as well that just show that. For example, the number on the Enterprise...
This is the worst.
The number...
Worst thing
The registration number on the Enterprise is 1701. And Star Trek fans do things like write to the studio, write to the programme makers, and they say, why this, why that?
Yeah.
And so they all say, why is it number 1701? And the studio came up with this. They said, the numbers 3, 6 and 8 are too easily confused. It was the number of the house opposite where Gene Roddenberry grew up. It's not. It's the postcode of a well-known American tobacco manufacturing organisation
in
Virginia. Would you like to have a guess which one?
Go on, Corn.
Marlboro.
Philip Robinson.
This is...
Isn't that superb?
No. we should say that this is just a fun conspiracy. It's not even that fun.
Yeah, it is a grim. Yeah, I mean, I can see where we're going, but I
think it's rock solid.
I think we've got another few...
No way.
Rock solid. Nailed on.
Why 101%. Would anyone leave this so-called trail of clues? Why don't we make a TV show with clues that... don't really add up, but only
the Ku Klux Klan
is
essentially a secretive organisation, but they like to disseminate information showing their strength, their health and their wealth to all their millions of followers across the United States. And one way of doing that is on a nationally syndicated television show, because the KKK were aware
That's a lot of thought put into a TV show, though. I mean, they, and also, they didn't know it was going to be syndicated across...
All right. Have you ever seen Mission Impossible?
Yeah.
Oh, that big Al-Qaeda film.
It was a TV show in which, at the very beginning of the show, the star, Peter Arness, would look through a folder of people who might be agents that he could use on this next mission. And they were photographs of people, and some he'd go yes, and some he'd turn the page over.
Right.
Every single one of the photographs in that folder that he went through week after week were the families of the various investors in the programme. Because they loved it. They just loved having their photograph on a nationally syndicated show. So the kind of stuff I'm talking about with Star Trek...
Yeah, well, some of the stuff
with
Star
cigarettes,
Trek was...
It goes on.
Yeah, but that's stuff that's there since day one. They don't know it's going to be a nationally syndicated multi-billion dollar enterprise, to quote upon.
All right, well, I'm taking 10 out of 10 for the football conspiracy. I'll take 7 for the Star Trek conspiracy.
That's generous.
No way.
I'll give you 6.
I'll regroup... whilst we are catching up to with what's going on in the world and at home, it's 2:30 on Talk Radio, and it's time for the news with Victoria Bourne.
Talk Radio.
Theresa May says Britain can look forward to a brighter future outside the EU. The Prime Minister has been campaigning for the Conservatives in the North East, asking voters to back her judgment on delivering Brexit. The Lib Dems' Brexit spokesperson Nick Clegg is warning that her approach is making European NHS workers think about leaving the UK.
Over 26,000 of them that they are now inclined to leave, but it hasn't happened yet. And that is why I think it is so important that we now send a warning shot across the bows of the Conservatives and say, look, you don't need to go about Brexit in such a confrontational, such a belligerent, such a hardline way.
The mother of an 8-year-old girl who died in the Manchester Arena bombing is off life support and has been told about her daughter's death. A family friend says Safi Russo's mum has been made aware of the situation. Meanwhile, more acts, including Little Mix, have been added to the lineup of a benefit concert for those who were killed and injured. Tickets for Sunday's event went on sale earlier but sold out in minutes. Nigel Farage is dismissing reports he's a person of interest in the investigation into possible collusion between Moscow and Donald Trump's presidential campaign. The former UKIP leader has dubbed an article fake news. And former Coronation Street actress Julie Goodyear says she's devastated to hear about the death of her on-screen husband, Roy Barraclough. The 81-year-old was best known for playing Alec Gilroy in the soap. The weather, warm, dry and sunny for England and Wales. Cloudy elsewhere with some rain in the northwest. Highs of 26 degrees. There's more in half an hour.
The radio station that knows how to throw a political party!
Yes, I've got a bit of a headache too.
Results, analysis and updates from the campaigning all the way to the final count.
It's gonna be a good one.
I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Election 2017 on Talk Radio. Join the conversation party.
The Tommy Boyd Radio Experiment.
Tommy Boyd on Talk Radio.
It's the all-new Conspiracy Hour. I've got 4. I've delivered 2. If you've just arrived, I think the show's going to be available to podcast.
It's on Listen Again, okay. talkradio.co.uk.
I think this hour is a particularly good podcast in my own view, a humble view. These are new conspiracy theories, which have been stumbled upon and fleshed out, I say, by my team. It's mainly my wonderful son, Jack, and me, who come up with these things and road test them. And it really starts to get under your skin, you know. We've talked about the possibility that football was invented, and indeed all modern major sports were invented by the British, by the War Office, in the mid-1860s in order to placate the masses. That gets 10 out of 10. We've talked about the fact that Star Trek could have an association with the Ku Klux Klan, a harmless one. They didn't put any propaganda into the programme. Indeed, they made money out of it. I only got 6 out of 10 from the team for that one. This next one, Cornelius, is not really what you'd call a conspiracy theory.
What is?
But it's a fascinating piece of information.
I imagine, and I haven't heard it yet,
no,
it's exactly what I'd call a conspiracy theory. Yeah, well, but do proceed.
OK, I will. Do you remember any of the school registers that you had to listen to at school over and over? Can you do them?
Can I do them?
Yeah.
No, but I remember sort of...
Bits of them.
Yeah, I remember at the start was always Joe.
Your second
Joe
name,
I'm
beginning
Mendes.
With an M, so you had to listen to about halfway through the register.
Yeah, exactly.
You came about halfway down.
Yeah, well, about 2/3, I'd say.
Michael, your first name, second name, beg your pardon, begins with a...
C.
A C, so you didn't have to listen for too long.
No.
You were quite towards the top, weren't you?
Yeah.
Do you remember any of the names that went before?
No.
How many names went before you? Not many.
Not many, no.
No. So I was B for Boyd. So my register went Beck, Bidmead, Biles, Boyd. And I was towards the front and I could switch off them.
Oh, yeah.
And there were people towards the end, you know, standing and what have you. Wilson had to hang around forever before their names were read out. Reason I mention this is because I'm going to go through, over the last 100 years, the most important people in Britain. The most important person in Britain is, of course, the Prime Minister, correct?
Yeah, right.
Power-wise,
powerful.
Yeah. Yeah,
yeah. Power-wise, yeah, power-wise, yeah.
The most powerful person in Britain is the
Public Prime power,
Minister.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. Now, you'll spot where I'm going with this straight away, but let me just run through it, because this will shock you, right? Let's go from 1900 onwards, okay? Our Prime Ministers, there's a guy called Balfour, okay? Followed by a guy called Campbell Bannerman. Okay. Followed by a guy called Asquith. Then there was a Lloyd George and a Bona Law. And then there was a Baldwin. Then a MacDonald and then another Baldwin. Well, same guy. MacDonald and Baldwin again. Followed by Chamberlain. We're getting to a point where we can remember some of these people, aren't we?
Go on.
Then Churchill.
Oh, yes, Winston.
Then Attlee.
Mm-hmm.
Then Churchill again. Then as far as my theory goes, there's a nasty stretch. Eden, Macmillan, Douglas, Hume, Wilson, Heath and Wilson. And then Callaghan. Then Thatcher and Major. And then, over the last 20 years, Blair, Brown, Cameron and Brazier. So what do you notice? Isn't it glaringly obvious?
Brazier.
Brazier, yeah. The current Prime Minister's name when she was at school was Brazier.
Okay.
Sorry to get you there, guys. Talk about just
I thought
putting a few branches
really
over
easy.
The hole
yeah.
and sprinkling some leaves on them. And here they come. Da-dum, 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 da-dum. I didn't even need to put a couple of little stakes at the bottom of the pit, did I? I could walk up 3 days later with a spear and just bang. There's 3 weeks' dinner for the tribe.
Curried.
Okay.
Curried.
So this is something to do with school registers.
This is something... Well, I don't know. I don't know. But of the 27 terms of Prime Minister that we have had since the turn of the last century, 1900...
I think I might know what it is.
Just let me do the stat. 15 of them had surnames that began with A, B or C.
Yeah.
That's startling. Because it's way not what the stats would suggest if the thing was absolutely random. 22 different men and women have been Prime Minister. Of them, 12, solidly over half, were ABC in surname. That's a huge stat. It is. Huge stat. It's got to be explained. It's not a coincidence.
Hey, you said Brazier. What was Thatcher's...
Roberts. Oh. And she was different from everybody else in so many ways, so I almost don't count her. I've taken other samples of 22 people at random, OK? So the current England football squad, that's also got 22 people in it.
Yeah.
Okay. And have they got 12 players whose names began with A or B or C? They have not. They've got four, which is about what you'd expect.
Yeah.
The last 22 heavyweight champions of the world, again, have they got 12 of them beginning with ABC? No, three. The top 22 authors of all time, completely random, four of the last 22 have surnames that begin with A, B or C. So, look, come on. There is definitely something here, isn't there?
I've still not seen it. Where are we going with this?
Well, where we're going with this is perhaps the everlasting effect of where your name crops up on the school register has on both you and your sense of self-importance and the rest of the population in terms of the importance they attach subconsciously to the fact that your name is read out very early on in the school register and the quasi possibility that you're therefore more important than them. I haven't got any other theories. But what you can't do is walk away from this stark statistic. Well over half of our prime ministers have names that begin with A, B or C.
Joseph Baldwin, who is at the top of my school register, I think is currently in prison. So...
Would you like to that just say that allegedly or something
allegedly,
along those lines?
Maybe.
I really would say allegedly.
Yeah.
Because he could be out now.
Yeah.
And he might be looking for somebody to blame. Oh, you've got to think these things through, Mendes. Come on. Dear
me. I'm just saying, I don't think he's coming Prime Minister soon. That's all I want to say.
All right, well, what do you think of the most common British surnames so that we can get some kind of a perspective on this?
Smith.
Smith is the most common, S. Next, Jones.
Mm.
Taylor.
Mm-hmm.
Williams. Is there a pattern forming here?
Or they're all near the end of the alphabet.
Of the 20 commonest surnames in the United Kingdom, 7 begin with W and 3 begin with T, and only 1 begins with either A, B or C. Brown.
Well,
so what this does, it actually magnifies the extent of this imbalance to the point where, mathematically, we have prime ministers whose names begin with the letter A, B or C 14 times more likely than if it were random. So you can't walk away from that stat. You just simply have to go to the question, why? I'll leave you listening to it. What do you reckon, guys? Out of 10, I've got 10 for the football.
I've written a word down, which I'm so struggling not to say on the radio.
I thought that you were writing break. I saw the B down there.
It's time. Yeah. But no, it's that's what that's a load of.
You're listening to the all-new Conspiracy Hour with myself, Tommy Boyd, in for John Holmes, right here on Talk Radio.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Dave, this is not the way to the ground. Please put the sat-nav on.
Sat-nav? I don't need that. I'm a human compass, me.
You won't get good odds on what happens next. But for great in-play prices on the footy, get yourself to 10bet.co.uk and score a first deposit bonus of up to £200.
David, I don't think this is Wembley, is it?
When it's time to bet, it's time to 10bet.
Minimum deposit £15. Deposit must be staked in full to qualify. 5 rollovers of deposit and bonus required. Single bets and accas only. Please bet responsibly.
Hey, I'm Lee Reedy. This song's about Oasis drinks.
I'm selling out, singing this song. Your liquid loving stops it feeling wrong. I sold my soul to the marketing team. But the money's good and the Oasis drinks are free. Oasis, it's hashtag precious stuff. Oasis, buy a bottle cause it's just ain't enough.
Ah, yes. Ooh. Mrs. Wren says she's had a Midsummer Night's Dream. She dreamt that in June, all Wren kitchens are half price, with an extra 20% off. And a Neff dishwasher for just £179 when you buy 5 or more units. Ah, but then she woke up. And it was all true! All's well that ends well, eh, Mrs. Wren? So, fly down to your nearest branch of Wren Kitchens.
Talk Radio, traffic and travel.
In Devon on the M5 southbound, there's a lane block due to a broken down vehicle between junction 30 for Exeter, the service area, and 31 for Exminster. We're also hearing of debris in the road around Exeter services, so care is needed on that stretch. In Worcestershire, the M5 southbound, there's a lane closed due to a broken down vehicle between 4A for the M42 and 5 for Droitwich. And in Faversham, the A2 Canterbury Road in both directions in Love Lane is slow with temporary lights in place. I'm Paul Jenkins.
At QuickFit, it's our mission to keep you safe and get you back on the road. That's why this spring we're offering epic deals on our premium tyres. Drop into one of our centres this month and get a massive 25% off all Pirelli tyres. QuickFit, it's all about the service. At participating centres only, offer excludes online, check in store for details.
As you can see, it's a well-appointed pied-à-terre, ideally suited to a young couple, charmingly unfussy decor throughout, a stone's throw from the lively cosmopolitan nightlife scene with close proximity to local transport links.
Does it come with a roof?
No, it's what we call a fixer-upper.
Whether you're looking to own, rent, primp or pimp a pad, make sure you listen to Home Rule with Martin Roberts. He's the property professor who's slapping on his bricks and mortarboard to give you expert advice on achieving your dream home. Home Rule with Martin Roberts. Pick up the keys this Saturday morning from 11 on Talk Radio.
across the UK, online and on DAB.
Tommy Boyd.
Tommy Boyd on Talk Radio.
It's the all-new Conspiracy Hour. I've got four conspiracies. I've done three. I'll just recap very quickly that football and all the world's major sports were invented by the British War Office in the mid-1860s in order to give the proletariat something to get on with rather than construct a revolution. That's number one. Number two is that Star Trek has some very close links with the infamous KKK.
Allegedly.
At least during the original series, not no longer, I don't suppose.
It's barely even allegedly. Yeah, it's been alleged by one person.
It's very strong. I've only just scratched the surface with that one. And the other one's not so much a conspiracy theory, just a curiosity.
Ponderance.
Which is that almost every British Prime Minister since 1900 has had a surname that begins with either A, B or C, and that is most unlikely mathematically. It's 14 times more likely, 14 times more unlikely that that could have happened than were it an entirely random statistic. But I believe you've decided to drum up somebody who knows even more about this sort of thing than you do.
Me and Michael basically pulling our hair out listening to this, so we thought we're going to put you up to the proper test now.
Are we expert?
You have to now tell your conspiracies to Howard Hughes, host of The Unexplained on Sunday evenings on Talk Radio.
Okay.
Hi, Howard.
Hi, how are you? You've just given me a big build-up here. I'm not sure I'm worthy of it, but there we are.
Of course.
It's good of you to find time to set these youngsters straight, Howard.
No, Tommy, you're a legend. Listen, I'm speaking to you from a place that you will know very well, Teddington, southwest London. It is part of your past, and I live here.
What a beautiful spot. Is the building still standing?
No, the building that you worked in, one for sorrow, two for joy, three for a girl and four for a boy, that building is brick dust now, Tommy. It's sacrilege. That Great Thames Television studio is going to be luxury apartments by the river.
Okay, that's cool. Well, thanks for the memory.
I mean, there may be a conspiracy theory there, but I haven't quite worked it out.
They're delicious, aren't they, conspiracy theories? Do they overlap into your territory on a Sunday night?
They do, but they're mostly, I have to say, the ones that I get into. Because, I mean, I have a show that is great for me, really, because my background is journalism right now. I've done news on radio for years. So I like the ones about who killed Marilyn Monroe. I've just been putting together a greatest hits edition for a couple of weeks from now. And one of those conspiracy theories was about a woman called Dorothy Kilgannon. Now, I'm sure you will know that name. She was a great investigative reporter who was around the time of JFK's death. She lived in that era, who was killed because she was getting close, it is claimed, to lifting the lid on all of this. Now, you know, it does seem to be a bit of a coincidence that she was investigating how JFK came to meet his unfortunate end, and then she happened to die in mysterious circumstances herself. But, you know, it may just be one of those things. It may not be a great conspiracy, but it certainly smells like one.
Mm. You know who's a big fan of the JFK conspiracy whole theory thing is Alex Ferguson, the football manager.
Is he the least likely person to be.
Apparently his bedside cabinet is just full of books and stuff on the JFK. I think he's trying to solve it himself, like we all are.
Well, maybe, I mean, look, football is, as we know, it's a Machiavellian kind of game. You know, you've got to win. And anything where you have to win means that there will be people who will do it by the orthodox routes, the hard graft routes, and there will be people who will try and find a way of doing it. So maybe that's why he's interested in all of that. He's just sort of interested in the what do they call it, in the ducking and diving that may go on around the sport.
Yeah, apparently he seized on something that he saw written, I think it was in an autobiography of Henry Kissinger, in which Kissinger is alleged to have spotted that the Russians were present in Cuba and building the silos for the missiles that never arrived, because the spy planes flying over Cuba managed to get photographs of football pitches. And Kissinger, who was European extract, so he knew about soccer, said that there was no way that the Cubans, who liked baseball, would have football pitches in Cuba. It proved that the Russians were already there and that they were doing stuff in numbers. And I think
as far as the story goes, I think Fergie took him on himself to put to put Kissinger right, because he said, yes, baseball is the most popular sport in Cuba, but they play a fine game of football there. And in fact, Cuba took part in the 1937 World Cup.
Well, I tell you, if you put the pair of them in a room together,
yeah,
I know who my money'd be on.
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah, yeah. That would be quite a good show, wouldn't it? I quite like that. If, you know, you could actually get famous people like Alex Ferguson in the car park and have a whole thing kicks off, a last man standing. Not just.
No, it would be truly epic.
You'd watch it, wouldn't you? Because we're like that, aren't we?
Well, we are. You know, it's. I don't. What's the? There is a word that describes it. I was up too early this morning to remember what that word is. But listen, you're talking conspiracy theories.
Yeah, yeah.
You've only got to Google them, and you get a million of them. I mean, I've heard a lot of them because that's what I deal in, right? And I've just typed in the words just for the sheer hell of it right now into Google. And the first one that comes up is one that I hadn't heard about. Now, maybe everybody else in the world has heard about this one, but and I'm the last person. Apparently, if you fold a $20 US bill in a particular way, you get the scene of the Twin Towers, the blazing Twin Towers.
Yeah.
And that's apparently been there for an awful long time now. You know, you probably knew that one. I hadn't heard that one.
No. I think vaguely I came across something not unlike that. These sorts of things, these party tricks that like the first one that I started off with in this hour, Howard, was the seed was planted in my mind by somebody saying to me in a pub, see this packet of Marlboro cigarettes? Mm-hmm. It's got the KKK coded into its design. And he showed me how he thought this was the case. And it was one of those tidbits of information that were going around at the time. Where are you on the old "the moon landing never happened" conspiracy?
Oh boy, I have just recorded a fairly lengthy interview with a guy down in Australia called Jarrow White, who is obsessed is a heavy word, right? He is very concerned and very interested in the whole idea, and gave me a million reasons. That show hasn't gone on my website yet, but gave me a million reasons why he felt the entire thing was faked, even though there is a welter of scientific evidence, plus those surviving astronauts who will tell you otherwise. The evidence for this, and I have to stand in the middle and be impartial about these things, Tommy, because that's why I do the show I do. But the evidence includes, for example, if you look at the video sent back from Apollo 10, which was the mission immediately before Apollo 11, the one that landed on the moon, if you look at video sent back, there is something apparently wrong with the frame rate of the video. Now, Jarrah has studied this in great technical detail. It gives me a bit of a headache to think of it too deeply, but the bottom line of it is, he says, and other conspiracy theorists about the moon landing say, that the frame rate of the video that we have is with cameras that they didn't have on the mission and couldn't have had on the mission because of the way that it looks. And the frame rate technically proves that's the case. Other bits of evidence that claim that we didn't go to the moon are that when you look at the photographs, you can't see any stars when you're looking at the sky, or whatever you might call it, looking out into space from the lunar surface. And that is a fact. But that just might be due to the relative light levels. The flag, the American flag, appears to be fluttering in the breeze. And those who say, no, this is not a part of the conspiracy theory, it was moving because it was on a spring to keep it like it was in the photographs, to make sure that it was fully unfurled. But there are people who say, no, that was the air conditioning in the studio in Pasadena or wherever it is where the whole thing was filmed. Conspiracy theories, I love them, and I always will. And I can tell just by listening to you today, Tommy, that you do too. The internet is, as usual, a double-edged sword about all of these things, because it has allowed everyone to become a conspiracy theorist. And once one person has a conspiracy theory, they will surely be joined by 10,000 others within 24 hours. So it's a good thing and a bad thing. The problem is there is so much material out there, you are left none the wiser.
I think on the moon landing, if it was faked, if they never went, and they have somehow managed to keep that pretty much a secret in spite of all the onslaught of conspiracy theories, they've managed to actually kind of keep the lid on it, that in a sense is a bigger achievement than going to the moon, isn't it?
It is. They have played it. You're absolutely, I mean, yes, brilliant. That's an absolute blinder they have played, bearing in mind that there are surviving astronauts. But among the evidence is claim that one of the pieces of moon rock, if you analyze it, is actually a piece of petrified wood. Now, That's either because a piece of petrified wood was put there because people knew it was a conspiracy and knew that they hadn't actually been to the moon, so we have to get something that looks not of this earth, hence the piece of petrified wood. Mm. Or the fact that from this particular display case in which this piece of moon rock had been housed and traveling the world, somebody had actually over the years nicked the piece of genuine moon rock and replaced it with a piece of petrified wood.
Okay. Listen, one last thing. We've got a couple of minutes, so I'm not going to rush you, but I think we should just touch on this. In recent times, and I am talking about the last 18 months, something like that, there's suddenly sprung up a darker side to conspiracy theories. And I'm thinking in particular of an obnoxious conspiracy theory, which unfortunately has got the endorsement of a radio jock in the United States who has very close links to President Trump. And the conspiracy theory is that one of the school shootings in the United States never happened, that the people who were wheeled out as parents of the deceased children were actors, and that the whole thing was a stunt put on somehow by the American government in order to accelerate public opinion for gun control. Have you come across that one?
I've heard that. But every time there is a terrible calamity, terrorist attack or disaster, somebody will come out and say something like that. And listen, if you're going to be making claims like that, like this guy is doing on the radio, you better be 100% sure that you have the facts behind you. And I don't think in this instance, this man has. There was a great movie that I think sparked an awful lot of this, but it was very entertaining. I was talking to a colleague at work about it this morning, called Wag the Dog. You know, the Dustin Hoffman movie, where a president who is struggling in the ratings is trying to find a way of boosting himself in the ratings, so comes up with a fake war. I mean, there are claims that Bill Clinton came up with all sorts of things, or his people came up with all sorts of things to deflect attention from the Monica Lewinsky affair.
Yeah, yeah. Some dark conspiracy theories are also, of course, overlapping with fake news, and there have been some appalling insinuations as well, which began just before the vote for the next American president. Which were put out there and kind of took hold about Hillary Clinton and all sorts of activities. And that's, I think, a bit of a worry for people who enjoy the general fun of conspiracy theories, that it's rather being coattailed by some of the darker forces that are at play, particularly on the internet.
I mean, look, being serious for half a second about it is there are a lot of vulnerable people out there and a lot of people who believe what they see and read. They don't have the critical faculties, you know, that many of us do. You know, you and I do. And that is a worry, because fake news then becomes real news in their minds. And then it becomes, and as these things get propounded and spread around, it becomes harder to work out what is the truth and what is not. And that's the world we are now headed towards, if we're not in it already.
Howard Hughes, thank you for your time this afternoon. We can hear you again at 10 o'clock on Sunday on The Unexplained, correct?
Oh, absolutely, Tom. And it's a real pleasure to talk with you. I still haven't, whenever I hear your name, I hear your jingle from a radio show you did years ago, but I am that old to remember it. Tommy Boyd on Nightline Tonight. One of the greatest jingles in the world.
Don't get me started on that, because I haven't got time. What happened was this. I'll tell you what happened was this. I'm not going to read this trail now. I'm going to do this instead. Right. What happened was this, Howard. This will tickle you. Right. The saxophone break on that trail was played by a man called Raff Ravenscroft. Raff Ravenscroft played sax on Jerry Rafferty's Baker Street.
Really?
The studio that I did that show from was the breakfast studio, although I was on late at night. The next presenter to come into that show, into that studio, to do his show after me, was a guy called Bob Holness.
Ah, yes.
I gave out, as a spurious quiz question one night, is it true or false that Bob Holness played sax on Jerry Rafferty's Baker Street?
Yes, right. It was classic.
20 years later, it's become one of the top three urban myths. But not only that, what's even stranger, is there's a Radio 2 disc jockey who claims he made it up.
Right.
Some guy. I'm not going to name him. Some guy.
But actually, we're talking to the man responsible, and you are that man.
Yeah, but I didn't try to get it out there. It just kind of happened that way. Howard, could talk to you forever. Got to make way for the news, which, of course, is a fixed marker and a very important one, too. Thanks for your time, Howard. Talk to you again. Do I got time to read this? No, I don't. I'll tell you what
we'll do it later.
We'll pay the rent, and then we'll get the news.
Election 2017.
Join the conversation party.
Yes, of course, at once.
Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm here to trade in my trainers.
Trade in your trainers?
Yeah, they're really old. Didn't buy them here. Seen better days, to be honest. I wouldn't get too close. I want to put them towards some lovely new ones.
Sorry, sir, we don't do that.
Really? Vauxhall do? I just got £2,000 for my old banger to put towards a brand new car.
Yes, you can afford a new car. Scrap your old car, and on top of our other great offers, we'll give you £2,000 scrappage to put towards a shiny new Vauxhall. Visit your local retailer or search Vauxhall Scrappage for more information. Trading car registered in your name for at least 90 days. Offer available to individuals and small businesses. UK supplied vehicles only. Exclusions apply. Limited time at participating retailers. Full T's and C's apply.
Van Buster, now on. The Titan 750-watt, 115mm angle grinder, just £20. When it's gone, it's gone. Excludes VAT at 20%.
Hey, Lego Batman. Did you know that you can join Sky TV from £22 a month and enjoy big screen drama exclusively on Sky Atlantic?
Go on, I'm listening.
And you'll still get all your Freeview favourites.
Oh, I love it. Keep going.
What's more, new and existing Sky TV customers can also add the UK's lowest price fibre for £20 a month for 18 months, including line rental. And the total setup fee is £39.95.
That's a pretty sweet deal.
It is, isn't it? Search Sky Bundles. Sky. Believe in better. Lowest price over 18 months. New 18-month contracts. Sky fibre areas only. 25 gig usage cap. Terms apply.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
A new kind of talk radio. We'll get you talking. Talk Radio.
It's 3 o'clock, time for the news with Victoria Bourne.
Thanks, Tommy. Coming up, Brexit is back on the agenda. One Love Manchester sells out and tennis players slammed for controversial comments.
Talk Radio.
Theresa May is asking voters to back her judgment on delivering Brexit. That's the big issue of the day in election campaigning. Jeremy Corbyn is revealing Labour's approach to leaving the EU. The party leader has criticised the Conservatives team, who are poised to go into negotiations with the EU.
David Davis, Boris Johnson and Liam Fox. No. I don't do personal attacks. So let me just say that in Labour's Brexit team, there is no one who has fibbed to the British people about spending an extra £350 million a week on the NHS because of Brexit.
From 7:30 tonight on Talk Radio, you'll be able to hear a live debate with the Conservatives' Boris Johnson, Labour's Emily Thornberry, the Lib Dems' Sir Vince Cable and UKIP's Patrick O'Flynn. The mother of an 8-year-old girl who died in the Manchester arena bombing is now said to be off life support and has been told what happened to her little girl. Meanwhile, tickets for a benefit concert in aid of the victims have sold out in less than 20 minutes. Fans who were at the gig, which was targeted, have been given more time to register for free passes. Nigel Farage is dismissing reports he's a person of interest in the investigation into possible collusion between Moscow and Donald Trump's presidential campaign. The former UKIP leader says it's extremely doubtful as he has no connections to Russia. The US could be about to join Syria and Nicaragua as the only countries not part of a huge international deal on climate change. Donald Trump is facing pressure not to pull out of the 2015 Paris Agreement. He's set to announce his decision later. Professor of Geosystems Science Miles Allen has told Talk Radio it'd be a step backwards.
It's misleading to suggest, on the one hand, that the decision to pull out will immediately put the planet into peril. On the other hand, we are going to have to work together on this. And I think what is worrying is it's part of a trend of countries no longer working together so effectively.
And 18 Grand Slam tennis winner Martina Navratilova says Margaret Court is a racist and a homophobe. And the Australian Open should rename the arena dedicated to her. It's after Court criticised an airline for backing equal marriage.
Talk Radio National Weather.
Warm, dry and sunny for England and Wales. Cloudy elsewhere with some rain in the northwest. Highs of 26 degrees.
Talk Radio Sports Update.
I'm Tim Humphrey. England's cricketers have been set 306 to win their opening Champions Trophy match against Bangladesh at the Oval. A few minutes ago, they were 27-1 in the seventh of their 50 overs. Tamsin Iqbal made a century for Bangladesh. England bowler Chris Wokes had to go off after two overs with a side strain. Andy Murray is one set all with Slovakian Martin Kližan in his second round match at the French Open tennis. A few moments ago, he was 2-1 up in the third set. Kyle Edmonds is in the first set of his match with Renzo Olivo of Argentina. Manchester United United are reported to have turned down a £60 million bid from Real Madrid for goalkeeper David De Gea, but City rivals Atletico won't be putting in any offers for anyone. The Court of Arbitration for Sport has upheld a transfer ban until January for breaching FIFA rules over the signing of minors. That's your latest sport, powered by TalkSport.
Talk Radio.
Across the UK, online and on DAB. The Tommy Boyd Radio Experiment. For those about to talk, we salute you.
Tommy Boyd on Talk Radio.
The hour between 2 and 3 was given over to conspiracies. It was called the New Conspiracy Hour. I'm Tommy Boyd. It is Talk Radio. I am in for John Holmes. He's back on Monday. But we only managed to get three of the four that I was prepared to lay before the dear listener in the last hour. So we've agreed that we will do the fourth one now.
Yeah.
Ahead of our discussion, which is going to be pegged to the news that it's Volunteers Week?
Volunteering Week.
Volunteering Week. Okay. Yeah, we'll do that in about 5 or 10. Because this last conspiracy theory that I've got is actually quite embarrassing for the English.
Oh, dear.
Oh, no, a lot of people like that.
Yeah, well, we go out in Scotland and Wales, of course. It could be quite popular.
The Scot, I tell you, I'm half Scottish.
Yeah.
What are you?
I'm fully, full-on English.
Are you sure? What, going back like 20, 30 years?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you know, two or three generations?
Yeah.
Anglo-Saxon?
South East London, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
It was weird because I have quite an exotic surname in Mendes. People presume I'm either
that
South American
Portuguese or
yeah, Spanish or anything like that, but no.
Well, my dad was Geordie.
Okay.
And my granddad was a Glaswegian.
Mm.
So the old chestnut of is a Geordie a Glaswegian with his head kicked in, or is the other way around, goes on in my head all day long. Why did I mention that? Oh, yeah, because the Scots, we Scots, love embarrassing the English, particularly when it comes to football. And here's the fourth conspiracy theory. I'll go to the headline straight away. The 1966 World Cup, which England famously
won. Yeah.
Was rigged.
Rigged.
It's so obvious.
You mean like fixed?
When you go to any of the South American countries, I first went to, Peru
mm-hmm.
in 1977, which was only about 10 years after the World Cup. And people were coming up to me in bars and shaking me by the hand and saying, well done for fixing the 1966 World Cup. And it had never crossed my mind. And then I've worked in Brazil in football. And Mexico a couple of times, and the same thing happens over and over again. They're not jealous or angry about it. They just say, you know, well done, you did a good job there of screwing the rest of us with the 1966 World Cup. So I started to think about it and look at it. And the 1966 World Cup is not even a distant memory for the likes of yourself, but you know bits and bobs about it.
Yeah, of course.
We have recently had an allegedly very corrupt chief of FIFA, a man called Blatter. The head of FIFA at the time of the 1966 World Cup was an absolutely upright and honourable man, but he was English. And the World Cup was coming to England. And a year before it happened, the English manager Alf Ramsey said, and it's on film, England will win the World Cup in 1966, the following year. And they did. Yeah. OK, that's nothing. Now, who were the team to beat in the 1966 World Cup? Who's generally been the greatest football nation ever?
Germany?
No.
Oh, Brazil.
Come on. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And they were so far head and shoulders and chest and waist above everybody else. It was a shoo-in they were going to win in 1966. They won in 1958. That was in Sweden. They're one of the only countries ever to win on not their own continent. And they won it so easily. They had this 17-year-old called Pelé who, he didn't come on until the quarterfinals, but he just scored goals whenever he wanted to, pretty much. And in 1962, they won it again, even more easily. So they're coming over to play in England. I think the word went out, how can we make it as difficult for them as possible? That's all I'm going to say. So first of all, they found themselves playing in the northwest, where the weather is, you know, indifferent compared to the south coast, where the pitches are a bit rough. They're either bone dry and they're sandy and ribald, or else they're sludgy and muddy and all the rest of it. Now, I have to be careful here because there are probably people connected with the people I'm going to talk about who don't want to hear their loved ones, deceased though they now are, impugned in any way. Mm. What I am going to say is that the two matches that Brazil lost in their group stages, which saw them thrown out of the tournament before the knockout stages, were both refereed and linesmen, by English referees. And that wouldn't happen now.
Would it not?
No, sorry, Bob. No. You get Turner. They're very careful to show that there is no consistency that is an inconsistency in the nationalities of referees who referee matches. So that's the first thing. The two referees who refereed the games in which lumps were kicked out of Brazil. The Daily Telegraph recorded the 10 worst refereeing performances of all time. And one of them was the English referee who refereed Portugal versus Brazil, in which Pelé was kicked to pieces and had to be carried off the pitch and didn't play for another 3 months, as being one of the worst refereeing displays ever. One individual in particular who followed Pelé everywhere, kicking him all over the place, the Telegraph said, should have been sent off.
Mm.
So that's the first thing. The second thing is, who's the next best team in it that we need to beat? England need to beat if they're going to win the World Cup?
Argentina.
Correct. Well done. Argentina had an enormous captain, a man called Ratin, a huge, dominant, fantastic footballer who just controlled the whole of the midfield. He got sent off. He got sent off after about 25 minutes at Wembley. Guess why the referee sent him off? Because you don't know, do you?
No.
Do you want to know the official reason why the Argentine captain and best player in the World Cup he was, was sent off?
Go on.
You won't believe me. The referee said, he kept saying things to me that I couldn't understand, and I didn't like the look on his face. Yep, you're looking at me
really?
As if to say, you're making this up, Boyd. I promise you I'm not. That is one of the quotes about why he sent off Ratan, for no particular reason. And everybody watching at the time on television in Britain, in England in particular, going, yes, couldn't believe it. There was no apparent reason. He hadn't kicked anybody. He hadn't said anything that the referee understood, but he was sent off. Which was very convenient for England, although it took them another hour to score against 10-man Argentina and go on into eventually get into the final. And the last bit of the conspiracy theory, of course, is one that everybody knows. Because in the final, in the first bit of extra time, when Jeff Hurst spun round and whacked it against the bar, did it or did it not cross the line?
Well, it didn't, no.
Of course it didn't. Right Minds thinks for a moment that it did. It simply didn't. It couldn't have. It did not cross the line. And yet what happened?
The goal was given.
The goal was given.
But was it a Uruguayan linesman, wasn't it?
No, I think he was from possibly Uzbekistan.
Okay.
At the time...
Why would he want England to win, though?
Ah, well, now you're getting into conspiracy theories now. Mm-hmm. In fact, Michael is rubbing the two foremost fingers of his right hand against his thumb, back and forth. We all know what that means. I don't think so.
No?
I don't think there was that much money in the game. I played against the England World Cup winning team, the 1966 World Cup winning team, in a charity match for retired newspaper journalists.
Wow.
Important charity.
Important
charity. And they all turned up, the whole of the team, those that were able to, which was about 9 of them.
Right.
And they were paid 250. Can you imagine what 250 quid is to the likes of, you know, Costa or Ibrahimovic? It's nothing, is it?
No, but even you've seen, who's one of the World Cup winners, I can't remember who it was, but he sold his medal because, well, he needed.
Didn't have any money.
Yeah, he didn't.
I think they all did.
Yeah, yeah.
In the end.
Yeah.
Yeah, those guys did not make an awful lot of money. Bobby Moore made a few, Bob.
Yeah. Mr. Charlton. Both of the Charltons in the end.
Made some money?
Yeah, well, Jack was the manager of Ireland for a long time.
He was, and what a good manager he was. I played against him and he was kind enough to kick me. No, really. He was kind enough to run his studs down my calf.
Oh.
Yeah, we went up for a ball together. It's me trying to jump against Jack Charlton, the giraffe.
He's quite tall.
He's tall. He's tall and he also kicks you because he can.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
And it was terrific because I was able to hobble into the wine bar for about 2 weeks. And when anybody said to me, what happened to you? I could say, Jack Charlton did me, which was fantastic. So that, I think, this is not, this is a conspiracy theory, but I do not want to drive it home. I don't want to make any inference against the integrity of Sir Stanley Rouse, who was a fantastic guy, or the integrity of the English referees for that those matches when Brazil were kicked to pieces, or the integrity of the, I believe, West German referee who sent off Alberto Ratin, the Argentine captain. Or indeed the Swiss referee and the Russian linesman who gave the Jeff Hurst goal. But it's worth us noting that the rest of the world thinks that that World Cup was a bit of a fraud.
And
we don't realise that.
You've made a mistake in your theory.
Excellent.
Which I wrote down.
And is?
So you concentrated on Pelé twice during that conspiracy theory.
Yes.
The first time you spoke, you said the first time he played in that tournament was in the quarterfinals.
Yes.
And then the second time you spoke about him was a Portuguese player in the group stages who should have been sent off for continuously kicking Pelé.
Okay. Well done. You're almost listening. Pelé made his debut as a 17-year-old for Brazil in the quarterfinals of the World Cup in Sweden.
Ah. Oh. That's right.
But, hey, I like being tested.
Yeah.
Just do it better. I know it's hard to listen and think of interesting things to say, and you almost do it really well. I've got some important information. I'm going to give this a listen tonight, this show, seriously, because I think it's going to be fun. Boris Johnson, Labour's Emily Thornberry, and Sir Vince Cable. I think people like all these people for a different bunch of reasons. UKIP's Patrick O'Flynn, MEP. I'm afraid I'm not familiar with him, but it's good to have the old balance thing there. These folks, thanks to Talk Radio and The Sun, who are joining forces, are going to be grilled in a live debate on the upcoming election. It happens tonight here from 7:30, and it's going to be hosted by the five-star Julia Hartley Brewer, who I think is brilliant. So I think that's worth a listen for a bunch of reasons. We haven't heard enough from Boris Johnson, some people say, during the election. Okay. Emily Thornberry is a bruiser. And Sir Vince Cable, I know, you know, it's just, he's so magnanimous, isn't he? By the way, his name begins with C. I know he was never Prime Minister, but then you had Clegg.
Yeah.
Didn't you? And Corbyn, we haven't mentioned as well, going back to the statistical quirk of how many of our political leaders' names begin with
ABC.
And it actually goes across to the United States as well, because I know we've got a Trump at the moment and Obama before him, but prior to that it was Clinton,
Bush,
Clinton, Bush, Clinton, Bush, Clinton. So, you know. All right. You can get your tickets for this event if you want to come along.
Go.
Is it free?
Yeah, I believe so. You can get tickets. It's at the News UK building by London Bridge next to the Shard.
I've been away from London for too long. What's that building called again?
The News UK building or the Shard.
What was the first bit?
News UK.
Luge.
News.
Oh, news!
As in paper, as in the company that owned this radio station.
I'm sorry, your pronunciation threw me. I thought it was some kind of French word. Is that how you say news then? News.
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 What's wrong with it?
What's news?
News.
You said news. It's around with news.
But yes, I say it.
News.
Truge.
What should I be saying?
News!
I don't introduce.
Look, I'm not.
What?
The top and the bottom of the hour. I don't introduce Victoria Bourne by saying, now it's time for news. I will. I like that idea. What's her top story at the moment? It's not too harrowing, is it?
Probably election based, I imagine.
Oh, I'm going to introduce her at 3:30 by saying it's time for the news with Victoria Bourne. No, I won't. No, because news is important. So if you're listening and you want to get a ticket to this event in London. Sorry, it's always got to be London, but that's how life is. The internet address to go to is thesun.co.uk/suntalks. Tommy Boyd, in for John Holmes. This is Talk Radio.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Join the conversation party. Talk Radio.
Hey, I'm Lee Reedy. This song's about Oasis drinks.
I'm selling out, singing this song. Your liquid loving stops you feeling wrong. I sold my soul to the marketing team. But the money's good and the Oasis drinks are free. Oasis, it's hashtag precious stuff. Oasis, buy a bottle cause the sip just ain't enough.
Punching the air, Sally jumps out of her Renault traffic van. Winning her second gardening contract feels even better than the first. Topiary has a new champion. Renault Pro Plus vans are trusted as the logistics partner to the Renault Sport Formula One team, delivering vital components day in, day out. See how the award-winning Renault Pro Plus range can power your team with reliability and aftercare service you can count on. Visit one of our Renault Pro Plus specialist dealers to find out more.
Lately, you've been thinking about giving Just for Men a go. But you want to know, is it easy? Natural looking? Yes, getting rid of your grey with Just for Men is indeed easy and more natural than, say, a chat with Mum. Yes, Mum, you deserve grandkids. We're working on it. No, Mum, I don't live at the pub. Tough stuff. In comparison, Just for Men remains easy. About 5 minutes and you're back to your natural-looking hair colour. Mum, however, is only getting started. Just for Men. Find it in the men's aisle.
Talk Radio, traffic and travel.
In Lancashire, in Heysham, the A683 Bay Gateway is closed. That's in both directions due to an accident. That is between the A589 for Treemaker Lane and Moss Road. Elsewhere in Merseyside, in Formby, the A565 Formby Bypass northbound is closed. That's due to a burst water main that will affect you between the B5195 Altker Road and Moss Side. And at Warwickshire, the M42 northbound has a lane closure. That's on the exit slip road. Slow traffic there. That is due to a broken down car towing a caravan. That's at Junction 9. I'm Sammy Jolo.
My thing? My abs. They're big on Instagram. Well, they were until I dropped a dumbbell on my phone. Anyway, I need a replacement. 12 megapixel camera for maximum muscle definition. But my budget is lower than my body fat ratio. So, you know what? It's got to be refurb.
Russell's thing? It's clearly a refurbished smartphone from eBay. That's as good as new with 12-month seller warranty. Buy refurbished tech on eBay and save up to 50% versus new. eBay. Find your thing.
Talk Radio. Talk and entertainment across the nation.
Talk Radio.
Give it some lip.
The Tommy Boyd Radio Experiment.
Tommy Boyd on Talk Radio.
That's me. And on today's show, we've been discussing unveiling four brand new conspiracy theories. We've also been celebrating British food, which gets far too much stick. And we also touched on why it is a good thing that some people, such as myself, are managing to find a way back to God, having been turned off the whole concept by schooling and science and Dawkins and so on and so on, because there's nothing better than believing in heaven. It's National Volunteering Week. Have I got that right, Michael?
You sure have.
So that got us thinking about volunteering, and we'll talk to somebody who knows more than I or Michael Cornelius ever could in just a moment. But volunteering, good listener, are you like me? You kind of think to yourself, I could do a little bit more, as in something, because that's what volunteers do. Volunteers give up their time, and they don't just slip next door on occasions to see if the elderly neighbour is okay.
I wouldn't call that volunteering, though.
It kind of is, isn't it?
Well, in a sense, but I don't know.
It's got to be paramilitary then, volunteering, has it? With an organisation.
This
and
is the point, isn't it?
A uniform and
this is the point.
The backup of substance.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Like, all these same uniforms, the blue or the yellow or all that kind of stuff.
It's got to be a uniform.
You have to have a banner with it as well, marching band as well, preferably.
Right.
And there has to be a whole thing about it now.
So you can't do a one off volunteer. Turning to the
Doesn't
person
seem to be.
In the bus queue next to you, this is what I do. If I volunteer for anything, I like to see myself as, and I hope it's seen by those on the receiving end, I like to see myself as a day brightener. So standing in the bus queue, I will turn and I will say something friendly to the person next to me.
Mm.
Is that volunteering? You're going to say no, I can tell.
Yeah, I'm going to say no.
Yeah, because I haven't got a uniform.
Yeah, and also you shouldn't have to volunteer to be nice. Of course you are naturally, Tommy, but you know.
I don't know, I'm crossing a line because a lot of people initially are, he's talking to me. Some guy I don't know is talking to me. And then they brighten up.
Mm.
And I volunteer to do that. That's volunteering with a small V, isn't it, boys?
Yeah.
Boys, we're talking about volunteering with a big V.
Yeah, it's a...
Voluntary service overseas! That's volunteering, isn't it?
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be overseas.
Well, yeah, that's closing in on conscription.
No, that's what they're called.
War.
Yeah, I know, but...
There's another one. Volunteer America! That's volunteering, isn't it? You could get the whole thing.
Oh.
All right, then, if it's like that, if it has to be organised and regimented, which you're obviously saying, Michael...
Yeah, yeah.
Isn't he, Cornelius?
Yeah, he does seem to be saying that.
He does seem
exactly
to be saying
that.
Is the Duke of Edinburgh Award Scheme volunteering? Because you're making the world a better place by becoming a better person. Gotcha. Sound
do,
of a,
do you know
you
much
sound
about
of a
the
young
scheme?
Man thinking.
A little bit. A little bit. You said the marching bands, the uniforms and everything else as well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So that's volunteering. There's uniforms. It's organised. It's got its own website. It's got a serious patron.
Does, yeah.
Part of the Duke of Edinburgh scheme is volunteering, though.
If the Duke of Edinburgh had been around during the... Sorry, I've just gone off on one. If the Duke of Edinburgh had been around during the Jurassic period, would he have stepped in and stopped the dinosaurs becoming extinct? Because he's a big one for not letting species die out, isn't he?
He is.
That is his thing.
Mm.
Would he have stepped in?
I don't know. I imagine
would he have got involved?
Eaten.
That's gonna...
Eaten by a dinosaur.
All of us on the way home with the thought of the Duke of Edinburgh being eaten by a...
Or stepping in between two people. No.
What, stepping in between two monsters, two prehistoric
creatures? Asteroid that made the dinosaurs go.
Well, we're back to the evolution thing. Nobody really knows why the dinosaurs died out. When I took a youngster to the Natural History Museum, one at the big tableau of the dinosaurs dying, it was sort of explained. One of the four reasons that they said could be why the dinosaurs died out was because of their rampant flatulence. They farted themselves to death. It caused an enormous...
I know, that drew in a massive asteroid.
Methane... No. The asteroid was there as one possible reason. The other was that they farted so much because they ate all this decomposing foliage that an enormous cloud of methane gas settled over the world and did something like block out the sunlight or reduce the amount of oxygen or just make them gag, I should think.
And then someone lit a cigarette and it all just blew.
Yes. Now, we're talking about volunteering, as you can tell. Mm. And don't worry, we'll be talking to an expert later. I've got this about volunteering, because I always remember as a boy, the army said you should never volunteer for anything. Have you heard about that one?
No,
never volunteer for anything. In the army.
Mm.
Don't ever volunteer.
Oh, yeah, as in you're actually in the army.
You're in the army.
All right.
And the advice is don't volunteer. So this is quite funny, actually. The army teaches you two things, says the army, right? One, if in doubt, put out the smoke and go left. I like that. If in doubt, put out your cigarette and go left. This is squaddy advice to squaddy. It's not,
okay.
It's not like, official army training. And two, don't volunteer for anything. The Navy teaches you two things. Don't throw slops out to windward. That makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Total.
And two, guess. Don't
volunteer
for anything. And the RAF teaches you two things. I like this one. Cheese tastes pretty much the same going up as down.
Oh.
Well, you see, they had to go looping the loop and lots of bumpy flights and... air pockets.
Okay.
And two,
don't volunteer
for anything. But we're not saying don't volunteer for anything. We're finding out about volunteering because it is National Volunteering Week. We'll pause there and we'll come back with not just the boys and the other folks working on the show. We've got Scarlett's how-to in just a second, but it's approaching 3:30, in which case it is time for the news with Victoria Bourne.
Talk Radio.
Theresa May insists she is the right person to get a good deal for Brexit.
I'll stand up for Britain and fight for Britain to guarantee our economic security, to deliver better paying jobs, a good school place for every child, real technical education and extra funding every year for our schools and a strong NHS.
The Prime Minister also renewed an attack on the Labour leader, warning he's not capable of negotiating a new deal with the EU. While Jeremy Corbyn is also focusing on Brexit, he's accused the PM of risking a jobs meltdown. The mother of the youngest victim of the Manchester Arena bombing has been taken off life support and told about her death. 8-year-old Safi Russo was one of 22 people killed last week. Meanwhile, all the Ariana Grande fans who were at the concert are being given more time to register for free passes for a special benefit gig on Sunday. Paid for tickets sold out in around 20 minutes this morning. Nigel Farage says it's extremely doubtful he could be a person of interest to the FBI's investigation into Donald Trump and Russia. The former UKIP leader has commented after he was named in some reports. He says he has no connections to Moscow. The Foreign Secretary says Britain will continue to put pressure on the US over climate change. Boris Johnson says President Trump will be pressed to cut damaging emissions, even if he decides to pull out of the Paris Agreement. And we're being warned the cost of a bottle of wine is going to continue to go up. The Wine and Spirit Trade Association says the average price is now £5.56. That's 3% more than 3 months ago. The weather mostly dry and humid for England and Wales tonight. Potentially heavy rain for Northern Ireland and parts of Scotland. Lows of 12 degrees. Tomorrow rain will move eastwards across the UK. It's going to be very warm with potential thunderstorms in the southeast. Highs of 23. There's more in half an hour.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Late Night Ian Lee. Tonight from 10 on Talk Radio.
Differently interesting nocturnal emissions from a legend of late night radio.
My name's Ian Lee. I'm on at 10 o'clock at night. We're going to have singers. We're going to have dancers. We're going to have naked pets. Just listen and see what happens.
Late night conversation worth losing sleep over.
Late Night Ian Lee.
On air and off the leash.
Tonight from 10 on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Tommy Boyd.
Tommy Boyd on Talk Radio.
Do it for real. Just talking to my friend Cornelius there, discussing something for tomorrow's show, which is, I like it. And that is that why should a show be completely planned? Why shouldn't the team working behind the scenes on the programme plan something and then not tell the host until the red light comes on? So you're going to do that?
Yeah, we'll give you a topic in an envelope, maybe a guest along with it.
When Victoria was reading the news, as only she can, she one of the stories is that the cost of wine is going up. See, if I was the Prime Minister, my take on getting people to cut down a little bit on their alcohol intake got nothing to do with units, because I can't get my head around that at all. Can you?
No, I can't get my head around it.
And what I would say is that people should limit themselves by what they spend, because that's easy to get your head around. If you go out for the evening and you took a tenner, would that last you for an evening?
For me, no, not in London. That's two pints.
Yeah, but then that on a Tuesday night, you're not going to drink more than that, are you? You've got work in the morning, if you call this work.
Yeah, I mean, the sensible answer is yes, you're correct.
I'm going to take a swerve off the motorway, which I've already done, because we are, in fact, discussing volunteering, as it's volunteering week. But now we're talking about alcohol consumption. Let's see where the conversation takes us with Paul Ross, who's in Cardiff yet, Paul?
I've just arrived. It's glorious sunshine, Tommy, and great to hear your voice again, because you and me helped kill off the original Talk Radio, did we not?
I think I
all those years ago.
I think I'd like to claim a much higher stake in that piece of euthanasia than your good self, I think.
I do remember talking to you once. I was, for reasons best known to the advertising department, I think I was in a car park in Asda, Canterbury, and you were talking about Chocky Wocky Doodah. Does that ring any bells with you?
Thankfully, no.
A long time ago that was. Anyway, we're here in Cardiff. It's day five of the full selection breakfast special. We've been all over the country, started in Brighton, kind of your neck of the woods, went up to Edinburgh, then came down to Manchester, Birmingham this morning, Cardiff today. The sun is shining, we're off to the castle and Cardiff Bay, and we round off this week's election special, the last 4 weeks of campaigning, finding out what's in it for the Welsh, which way they're thinking of voting, and also touching base with the good folk of Northern Ireland. That's going to be a jam-packed show tomorrow morning, I hope from six, but I might volunteer to drink 2 pints of Stella tonight. Other beers are available.
You've done what I was going to take 20 minutes to do there.
How are you though, Tommy? Seriously,
I've never been better. I wish I had your speed, Paul. I really do.
Well, I loved as well, and again, you might not remember this, it's all a bit of a haze. You were on through the keyhole and I guessed it was your house because you talked about swimming with the dolphins. Do you remember that?
Thank God you were on that show. I don't think anybody else had ever heard
yes,
of
it. Yes, they would have done. Come on.
David Frost was interesting, though. He actually managed to brilliantly pretend to be genuinely interested in me when the cameras weren't on. And I was quite touched by that.
Well, I got a train ride back with him once, and he used to like a glass or three of red wine. And he said, right, would you, you know, join me with this wine? It's some lovely, whatever it was, Chateau d'Oeuf du Pape. Had a couple of glasses. He then said, right, I'm now going to the smoking compartment, shows you how long ago it was, said, with this other bottle of red wine. He said, because I must prepare, it was a Saturday night, for my live interview tomorrow with Menachem Begin. And I'm thinking, that's style, isn't it?
Isn't that, yeah.
Two bottles of red wine, a couple of large stogies, and the President of Israel in the morning at 7 a.m.
He knew what to do with a cigar, didn't he?
He certainly did. Him and Bill Clinton.
Yeah, so it's just 2 pints of Stella, is it, that gets you rocking and
yeah, but
and
I am to mathematics what Jeremy Corbyn is to the iPad, so who knows. But we're up early tomorrow, breakfast in Cardiff, and then back to base, and I'm back on air on Sunday morning, 11 till 3, for the election countdown. I think the final one before the big day next Thursday.
Good stuff, Paul. Great to hear your voice, of
See
course,
you soon, Tommy. Lots of love. Great show. Cheers,
yeah.
Mate.
I want to say great to hear your voice. You hear his voice everywhere, which is great. What I meant was great to talk to you, yeah. Very nice man, Paul Ross, indeed, as well as you know, just one of the most competent broadcasters we've ever had, I think. And I do wish I had the speed that he has. Where does he get... What must it be like inside his head to be able to think that fast and talk that fast at the same time?
I know. I
can't read that fast. No, man's brain is just... You know, it's...
He's very knowledgeable, has a fact about everything
Speed of sound. Where were we? We were discussing... volunteering, because it's National Volunteering Week, which is designed to provoke us to... is it raising awareness? Because we get a lot of those.
Raising awareness for volunteering. No, I think it's to encourage people to volunteer. So, sort of. That's the idea.
What have you volunteered for in your life?
I once went to a music festival Instead of paying for a ticket for the festival, what I did is I really wanted to see Mumford and Sons, so I went to this festival on my own, and instead of paying for a ticket, I stayed the whole weekend, but you'd work 3 shifts as a steward. So 3 8-hour shifts.
Are you seriously trying to pass off getting yourself a cheap ticket to see Mumford and Sons?
Free ticket.
As volunteer work?
Well, it was, because I was... donating my time for free to do a job.
In return for a ticket?
Yeah, yeah.
So there's a transaction at play?
They didn't pay me.
Is that the most volunteering you've ever done?
That I can think of, yeah. I used to years ago, when I was about 16, work for a charity, but I got paid.
Well, that's not volunteering, you fool, is it then?
Yeah, it's just as worthy.
It's only 3:30. You've got a meeting after this show. And you're very slack already. Come on. Just tighten your banjo a little bit here. Is that the best you've got? That you did a couple of volunteer shifts with the organisers of a rock festival so that you could get in to watch Mumford without paying?
I feel bad now.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. Passing that off as volunteering
it is volunteering.
Borderline.
There is a transaction at play. You can't do that.
Borderline criminal.
Well, there's always a transaction at play.
It might be a smashy and nicey.
Yeah,
you know,
there is.
Charity work. Michael, I'm sure you've volunteered for a great many far more genuine.
Well, at least my...
Deserving.
I think so.
Go on then.
I used to coach football. Free of my time, volunteer to do it.
That's volunteering.
Yeah.
That's volunteering.
I used to play football in the park.
Yeah, but
that's pretty much the same thing.
It's okay. Have you ever coached football?
No.
Right, then.
I've been coached.
And were you one of those kids who sat down and listened to everything the coach said?
Yeah, but I still didn't get in the team.
Yeah, well, trust me. Completely different experience coaching kids are, well, kids specifically. So anything up to 12 years old. And of course, when you've got kids that young, there's also parents involved.
Ah, the dads. And the mums.
And the mums. I tell you what, when I'm playing football, there's only one voice I hear.
Which is?
My own mother's.
Really?
Yeah. She's on the far side of the field from where I am. I've all my team is screaming at me looking for the ball, or I'm giving to them or whatever. One voice as I can hear is my mother.
I thought you meant, you see, something which would have been a very rich vein. That's a rich vein.
Yeah.
But a very rich vein. And that is that when you're playing, but your mother is not watching, you still somehow feel or hear her voice.
I kind of miss it though when she's not there, to be honest. It's kind of comforting at this stage.
But do you hear her sort of, you know, you've got the ball, you're in midfield, you've got the ball, you've got the back to the way you're going.
Yeah.
Nobody shouted man on. Do you hear her saying, turn, Michael! Have all the time in the world!
It's actually spoken. Pass the ball! Mike, pass the ball!
Oh, God. I know, we had one team come and play against us. I coached a team called Bourne. And we had one guy turn up, he was coaching the other team, and he told every single one of his players what to be doing at any given moment of the entire game. He was saying, right, Gregory, now give it to Alan, Stephen, go long, go, give it to Stephen, no, don't, Stephen's covered, no, take it inside, give it to Lucas, give it back to him.
Those,
for 45 minutes.
Those are the parents that I can't stand.
Exactly.
You spend so long working with these kids, and like you do, like, because I love working with kids. I get great enjoyment out of it. Like, I really enjoy it. And it's really satisfactory. And, you know, you do, particularly when they pick it up, unlike Cornelius, when you do pick it up and, you know, learn from it. But then you've got the kids then whose parents are there. And you spent weekends after weekend saying, all right, this is what we're going to do. Trust in what you're doing. You know, you're a whole teammate. You guys are fantastic. Trust, you know. I'm not one of the coaches. I want to win. I'm not one of the coaches like, oh, let's all play nice and everyone, you know, shake hands afterwards. But at the same time, there's a style and a definition by which you want to play. Which is completely thrown into disarray when you have a parent saying, pass the ball!
Yes. That's right. I used to run little training sessions for juniors in a place called Fishbourne, which is where football actually was first played in the United Kingdom.
Is this, yeah, come back to the, is this the
no,
theory?
No.
The Riot Central of the UK.
Claim to fame, this is. Some of the dads, you see, all wanted to be Jose Mourinho, the coaches.
Yeah.
And they, you know, they had the whole thing. And one of the lads came up to me famously after a session and he just went, Mr. Boyd, he said, Gary's dad who's coaching us, he thinks it's a square ball. Because the guy hadn't explained that when you pass it horizontally... That's called a square ball. Yes. So I went back over this in my mind. This guy going, square ball, square ball. And the kid's going, what is it? What does that mean? We're talking about volunteering because it's volunteering week. But this particular journey down this particular motorway has indeed taken us past quite a few villages and quite a few football pitches. And we'll come back to that in just a second. But right now, we must pay the rent. It's Tommy Boyd in for John Holmes on Talk Radio.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
A radio star is born.
You're going to love
Talk Radio.
You know the saying, blink and you'll miss it? Well, you could use it for TalkTalk's Fibre Flash sale. Because for a very short time, you can get TalkTalk Fibre, which is four times faster than standard ADSL broadband, for just £25 a month, including line rental, for 2 whole years. It's Britain's lowest priced fibre compared to Sky, BT and Virgin over 24 months, saving you up to £535 versus BT. But hurry, the flash sale ends today. Search TalkTalk Fibre and join now. TalkTalk, for everyone.
Comparison with BT excludes voucher and is based on TalkTalk's faster up to 38 meg and BT's Infinity One up to 52 meg packages. Contract and conditions apply.
Van Buster, now on. The Titan 750 watt, 115 mil angle grinder, just £20. When it's gone, it's gone. Excludes VAT at 20%.
Hi.
Hi, I'm here to trade in my trainers.
Trade in your trainers?
Yeah, they're really old. Didn't buy them here. Seen better days, to be honest. I wouldn't get too close. I want to put them towards some lovely new ones.
Sorry, sir, we don't do that.
Really? Vauxhall do? I just got £2,000 from Milebanger to put towards a brand new car.
Yes, you can afford a new car. Scrap your old car, and on top of our other great offers, we'll give you £2,000 scrappage to put towards a shiny new Vauxhall. Visit your local retailer or search Vauxhall Scrappage for more information. Trading car registered in your name for at least 90 days. Offer available to individuals and small businesses. UK supplied vehicles only. Exclusions apply. Limited time at participating retailers. Full T's and C's apply.
Talk Radio, traffic and travel.
In Lancashire, in Heysham, the A683 Bay Gateway is closed. That's in both directions due to an accident. That's between the A589 and Moss Road. In Greater Manchester, we have one lane closed due to a broken down vehicle. That's on the M61 northbound. That's between Junction 6 and Junction 8. Elsewhere in Greater Manchester, we have one lane closed and heavy traffic due to a multi-vehicle accident. That's on the M62 westbound between Junction 19 and Junction 18. And in Warwickshire, the M42 northbound has a lane closure on the exit slip road. Slow traffic there due to a broken down car at Junction 9. I'm Sammy Jolo.
My thing? Popping on the Lycra and swallowing the odd insect. I'm into my cycling, you see. We meet every Sunday morning, 7:30 on the dot. We just planned a trip to the Alps, well, the Welsh Alps, so we need a new bike rack. It's got to keep four bikes safe on the roof whilst we plan our Tour de Wales in the car underneath.
Sounds like Ben's thing is a roof-mounted four-bike car carrier rack. Find your thing on eBay, the UK's number one online destination for car parts and accessories. eBay. Find your thing.
The Paul Ross Marginal Mystery Tour is on the road.
Dude, where's my breakfast show?
Check the oil, kick the tyres, as the Paul Ross Breakfast Show takes the highway to the hustings. Join the nation's brightest breakfast crew on an early morning election road trip around the territories.
It's eggs in Edinburgh, muesli in Manchester, bacon sarnas in Birmingham, and if we're lucky, cornflakes in Cardiff.
From Highland to Hard Shoulder, Paul Ross gets into the election connection cruiser and measures the mood of the nation on a week-long travelogue of live breakfast broadcasts.
And continues tomorrow morning from 6, live from Wales, from Cardiff Bay.
The Paul Ross Marginal Mystery Tour on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
The Tommy Boyd Radio Experiment.
Tommy Boyd on Talk Radio.
The best thing to do if you want to make a joke, a visual joke, using the word experiment, is to answer the door if you've got a long-sleeved shirt or jacket on, holding a bunch of bananas, but with your fingers not showing, so that the bananas appear to be your fingers.
Yeah.
And then whoever answers the door, you say to them, I can assure you, Inspector, none of our experiments are in any way harmful. It's visual. We're talking about volunteering in this hour of the programme, but we'll park it there for a moment because we have been joined by Scarlett, because it's time for Scarlett's how-to, in which Scarlett, who is a volunteer, by the way...
Yeah, so... We're still on topic.
Proper. And we've got an expert.
Yeah.
Because she is a volunteer. Now, it's not the same as volunteering, you know, in Africa or, you know.
Yeah, it's quite selfish volunteering.
You're volunteering yourself to get a career in broadcasting.
Yeah, I am.
It's still volunteering.
Yeah.
Because we're not paying you.
Yep, very true.
Okay. But the technical reason you're here is because each afternoon you deliver a Scarlett's how-to. Yesterday was procrastination, and I thought it was a brilliant piece of original journalism, so it can only go downhill from here.
Yeah, very true. Today I'm doing a how-to on how to control your chimp, which goes in with what you talked about earlier about evolution and whatnot and that kind of thing. The chimp is the emotional part of your brain, and this comes from a theory called the chimp paradox. So the way that the book The Chimp Barry Schultz describes it is the chimp is the emotional, irrational side that jumps to conclusions and thinks in black and white, while the human is the evidence-based, rational side that uses context, perspective and balanced judgment. An example of this, which is my favourite example, is if you had a bar of chocolate and you went, you know what, I'm just going to eat two little squares, that's it, I'm going to be really good, I'm just going to eat those squares, and you eat them, and in the back of your head you're like, oh, I want a bit more. And then before you know it, you've eaten the whole bar. That was your chimp. Your chimp made you eat that bar.
Understood. Impulsive, instantaneous, unable to exert its any influence over its id, urges,
very
animal
much.
Behaviour, eat.
It's very much
fight,
also similar to if someone spilt a drink on you.
Yes.
You kind of got two options. Your chimp would turn around and smack him one and punch him and then have a big brawl, yes, as your human goes, ugh, I've got a drink spilt on me. I'm just going to go home and call it a night.
How many chimps have you got in the studio with you here at the moment?
Just my own, I like to believe.
Okay, fair enough. That's very interesting. That's a nice how-to. I like that. Marks out of 10 for the volunteer and her how-to control your chimp brain.
Well, she hasn't told us yet.
I was going to say, I haven't told you any steps yet.
Yeah.
Right,
what
I'm sorry,
learned,
I thought she was doing a Paul Ross on us.
No.
Doing 20 minutes of broadcasting in 30 seconds.
No, so your actual steps of actually controlling this chimp, first of all, is to accept that you've got one. Everyone has one. You've got to accept that. You've got to recognise that it's there and that it does take control. And if possible, try to find out when it does take control. Your second step is to almost put it in a cage. So you've got to reassure it with logic, calm it down, have a plan and action, and kind of pop it in a cage and go, right, you're going to sit in that corner of my brain while I take control. Step three is do your normal day and then recognize during the day what it is that makes it take over, and then think, why am I behaving and why am I thinking like this? I actually had an example yesterday where in January, I got food poisoning from a Chinese the day before an exam, and now I cannot eat a Chinese. Just go against it. And then my mum last night was like, oh, I don't want to cook. Should we order a Chinese? I was like, no, we can't do it. And then like I thought about this and thought, why am I actually not wanting it? Because this is a completely different Chinese. It's a very, very long months later. It will probably be fine. Like, I know rationally it will be fine. I could eat it. But the chimp's going, nope, you're going to get poisoned again. You're on work experience. You're not going to go in. It's going to be awful. So when against the Chinese. Step four is you find that perfect balance, discover how to have both and how to become at peace with the chimp, and times that you should actually let the chimp win. If there's times that you think the chimp winning would actually benefit me in some way, then you've got to let that happen. And step five is determination, decide what you want to be and where you want to end up, and reward the chimp for good behaviour.
Okay. Now, I went through four or five conspiracy theories here in the presence of these tormentors, and I received little but ridicule for my theories.
The first one we liked.
You couldn't not. It's nailed on. But as we went through the conspiracy theories, such as Star Trek has links to the Ku Klux Klan,
allegedly,
and that prime ministers stand a better chance of becoming prime ministers if their name begins with A, B, or C,
didn't get it.
And I was gradually exposed to more and more cruel and lazy derision, frankly. But what are you going to give Scarlett for the chimp theory?
Solid eight.
There, you see.
I mean, it's actually a book, and a lot of Olympians go for
it. I'm out of here then. You're so good. You're that good. You close the show. I'm out of here. You come and sit in the main seat. I'm out. Start your career now. No, go on.
I can't tell if this is a joke or I'm actually going to move.
No, do it. If the volunteer enters, is that much better than me? She can take us up to the hour.
You got a 10 out of 10 for the first one.
What?
Aggregated, you're all right. Aggregated, you're still beating her. You got 10 out of 10 for the first one. We gave you 6 for the second one. You didn't even ask us for the last
two. I'll come back out of the kindness of my heart, because I don't want to put a young person who obviously is easily put off things such as Chinese broadcasting because I dumped her in it. Thank you very much indeed.
No problem.
Scarlett, that was very nice. You missed your opportunity there. You could have been closing a national.
You could be talking to Carol Lawn in 5 minutes' time.
Yeah,
I think she'd look at me like, what are you doing? I'm sorry. It was an accident.
I think she'd be looking more so at Tammy outside the producer's studio, wondering why you're not here.
That's interesting.
The phone calls.
What are you going to how-to tomorrow? Any ideas yet?
Not yet. I'm going to go home and think tonight, and I'll surprise you.
Okay, that sounds good. Sounds good. Thank you very much.
Well done.
We're talking about volunteering. As it's National Volunteering Week. I don't know if I can say this like this because it's not my style.
Go on.
But it looks as though nobody is volunteering to speak to us from National Volunteering Week.
We got very close that someone has just spoken to me.
Oh.
But I thought I'd let it go because I thought
let it go.
Fine. So they did get back to us. So it would be completely unfair to say that. But
it's all right.
Yeah, I let them down because I thought we were pretty much... Well, I mean,
we recorded that we did an hour on volunteering.
Yeah. We volunteered as well.
Absolutely.
That hour. We volunteered an hour of our show towards the cause, really.
Mm-hmm.
But going back to... we were going round the houses whilst talking about volunteering, and we found ourselves talking about junior football and junior sport.
Yes.
Yeah.
And some time ago, I got I was lucky enough to find myself in a room with the ex-footballer and pundit Andy Gray. You don't see as much of nowadays, but he was always somebody who had a number of really interesting comments to make. And we were talking about Sunday morning football, and he said that he doesn't go out and get the papers on a Sunday morning because he always finds himself passing a Sunday morning match, and he can't help himself but stop and watch. This is, you know, a man who does, you know, Manchester United, Liverpool, and
Russia. Yeah, yeah.
And I said, "Well, why?" And he said, "I don't know." He said, "I think I'm hoping to see a goal." And I found that so human, because I'm a bit the same myself.
Yeah.
You know, you're on a train and you're going along, and there's a cricket match down there, and you find yourself watching until it's right out of sight because somebody's running into bowl.
Yeah, yeah.
Why?
Yeah, yeah.
Why? Because you hope that there's going to be a wicket.
Always.
It'd be great if Andy Gray turned up at your Sunday League football match with one of those massive touchscreens for a bit of half-time analysis.
But the problem is, they use him this stage. If he's going to the every Sunday morning, Andy, go away with you, because something's happening.
Yes,
now.
Yes, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. Just occasionally playing Sunday morning football, you would discover, once the game was about 4 minutes old, that the big old guy that they've got in the middle there, turns out that he used to play for Manchester United.
Yeah.
And he's now 53, but he can still do it.
Yeah.
And do it a damn sight better than any of the rest of us. We rush to Andover to squeeze caller Jack into the show. Jack, how are you?
Good afternoon. Good to you.
Yep. And that?
I just wanted to check. Do you guys know the definition of a volunteer?
Tell us.
Someone who didn't understand the question.
Yeah, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. Where are you from, Jack? I can detect a twang.
Oh, yeah, I'm from Cape Town, South Africa.
Beautiful. How are you enjoying it over here?
Oh, I've been here for 13 years, and it feels like 3 years, but I love every minute of it. I really, really do.
And where are you on the Norman Tebbit test? Who do you want to win when it's Test cricket, South Africa versus England?
Well, you know, my mind says England, because
sweet.
I live here, and the English have been nothing but good to me, but my heart, obviously the Proteas.
And what do you miss about South Africa?
The space and the scenery and the mountains.
The sky is so...
If I'm honest.
I've not been. I hope to get there. I'm told the sky is so huge in South Africa.
Yeah, the space is unbelievable. You know, there's just space everywhere. Where, I mean, fair enough, you know, we've got the beautiful countryside here in England, you know, absolutely. But it's nothing compared to the Kalahari Desert or the Western or Eastern Cape or even the Kruger National Park, you know. But, yeah, absolutely.
Our beautiful visions. Thank you for painting the picture. Jack, talk to you again.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye now. Jack in Andover. After the news at 4 o'clock, Carol Malone is here. How are you doing, Carol, and what have you got lined up?
I'm good. How are you? Have you had a good show?
Surprisingly well is how I answer that question
these
days.
It's a sunny day out there. You're going to be out in a minute. Yeah, well, we've got lots on today. We're going to be talking about the Samaritans. Lots and lots more people are ringing them now. We're going to find out why that is. We've got our trending review today with comedian Glenn Moore. It's going to be fab. And we're going to be talking about last night's election debate. What do you think of it?
Well, first off, I thought the host did a fantastic job.
Yeah. Well, she barely got a word in, did she? Really?
Well, she didn't need to, and she didn't climb all over people, and she didn't feel a need to exert her authority or have people thinking about her. I thought she did a grand job.
The rest of them?
Well, you know, who put on a good show? I would say that if it was a theatrical thing and they were auditioning for a show, nothing to do with their politics.
Uh-huh.
Therefore, don't look at me like that. Nothing to do with the election.
Yeah.
If they were auditioning for a pantomime, I would have given it to Tim.
He was a bit backbitey, I thought, wasn't he? He was a bit sharp.
But he had some good theatre. I can't go into, you know, I would say that he had a good bit of theatre in his act.
I wouldn't like to cross him, actually. But we're also going to be talking about sexual harassment on TV.
Okay.
And Wonder Woman, the new Wonder Woman movie.
Now, you see, how are those two things going to marry?
I'm not quite sure. Yeah, you've got a point. I know. Maybe we put them too close together. We should probably separate them.
No, I don't. I think take them as one.
Actually, I don't think you could harass her. I don't know if you've seen a picture of her. She's pretty spectacular. I think she'd knock anyone's block off who tried.
It has held my attention longer than perhaps I would let on to most people. But yes, she's a good specimen.
She looks pretty spectacular.
OK, that's Carol, who's after the news at four, which we're racing towards right now. This is Tommy. I am in for John Holmes. He's back on Monday, but you got me tomorrow. I'm looking forward to it. I hope you are. You're tuned to Talk Radio.
Election 2017 on Talk Radio.
The latest breaking news, expert analysis and outspoken opinion.
And I, for one, am proud of that.
Join the conversation party.
Talk Radio.